final round. Fight!
Everybody underestimates the kick in the groin.
That's fucking illegal.
Bro, you're not even famous yet.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. What round they rise upon, man, sir.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's edition of the Jack and Mel Super Out MMA Show. I, as always, am Jack, and I'm joined by my good friend Mel Brown. How you keeping, brother?
I'm doing good, mate. Sleep cycle is just about returning to normal, as I usually spend the start of each week readjusting to a normal time frame after staying up for the UFC on a Saturday's night slash Sunday morning.
Yes, we were up very, very late. Well, as we always have to be for those listening from the US. Hello, my friends, but
you don't know.
Yeah, yeah, you don't know. And do you know what's hilarious too is you see it all the time whenever there's like a card with a negative time difference for them, and it's like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, and it's like, yeah, every week, bro.
Doing it every week. Yeah.
Every week.
Love those 3 a.m. main card starts.
Have you been up to much this week?
No, just taking it easy. I mean, not much has happened since Saturday, I suppose.
No, well, one thing that's happened for me is, I'm CBD'd up now. No, this is not an advert. It's just something that I am.
If someone would like to give us CBD, we would happily
If anyone knows someone who wants some endorsement or whatever, just let us know. I just decided with the training we're doing and stuff, sick of the aches and pains, and yeah, we'll see how that goes, like. Other than that, all good. Won an absolute fortune. Making it rain, dollar at the UFC there. A couple of weird ones that I won money on, but we'll talk about it as it comes. The first thing we're going to do is just have a quick chat about UFC 230, but don't worry, we're not going to go into very explicit and boring detail. You had called Lyman good. It looked good, funnily enough. Saunders maybe needs to look at...
It's time to stop.
Yeah, it's certainly getting close, if not we're there already. I hate to be the one to tell a fighter to retire because it's not my position, but someone like Ben Saunders, you know, he's had a very solid career, but he's physically done, isn't he?
It seems that way. Like, since the start of June of... No, not start of June. Sorry, I am talking absolute rubbish. As we say, I thought that was this year, but it's actually last year. So in his last 5 fights, he has 1-4, and 3 of those have been fairly nasty knockouts. Stopped 3 times this year alone. Juban, in a great fight, knocked him out earlier in the year. Sergio Moraes tapped him out just a little over a month ago, and Lyman Good sent him to the land of wind and shadows this Saturday.
Certainly did.
Lyman Good's physically looked great.
Yep.
You know, can't really say much more. He's got a great record. Veteran fighter. But, like, Ben Saunders, man, it's nearly sad. It's just like the body is gone. It's betrayed him. The chin isn't there. The shots which put him down from the clinch initially, like, I'm sure they were hard. I don't care when people go like, oh, dude, I barely even touched him. You're still getting punched by a large, jacked man.
Yep.
It's going to hurt.
Yep.
But they didn't look like they should have had enough on them to put him down.
Agreed.
And when he went down, the follow-up shots on the ground put him out. And I like Ben Saunders. Don't really want to see him getting sparked out over and over again. I think going 1-4 in your last 5... it's probably time to call it a day.
Yeah, I agree. The next fight, not much to talk about, but it was Moraes against Arce. Bloodbath, great fight, correct result.
Yep.
Anything else to add to that?
Not really. It was, Bloodbath.
Sajara Eubanks, unfortunately, won her decision against Roxanne Modafferi. We will talk more about that later, but... y'all know I'm not the biggest Eubanks fan, and there was
more... the people's champ?
Don't. You're going to get me triggered, man. don't. Rinaldi looked great against Knight. I sort of said just before the fight came off, I was like, Rinaldi looks good, and he's, yeah, I should have stuck on my gut in that.
Yeah, how good is Jason Knight's submission defense from his back?
Yeah, it's
like mental. Like, Jason Rinaldi had Knight's back for 2.5 rounds.
Pretty much, and wasn't able to get anything. Yeah,
he's a Wrigley gentleman.
Well, the main card, which is where the fun began, I won money on first round in this. First round KO for Adesanya. Brunson, we both said it last time. Brunson's good. Zach Cheney, that was a message just came through on my Facebook there, and it just literally came up on the screen. So not Zach, but hello, Zach. Adesanya completely wiped the floor with Brunson. When we talked last week, we questioned Brunson's chin. And I saw, and I think it's actually right, I saw Adesanya saying that Brunson screwed himself in that fight. And I kind of actually agree with him. He literally, you know, so he tweeted saying that, you know, oh, I'm not going to let the loss beat me. You know, what a standard, you know, I just got to onwards and upwards kind of thing. And he said, you know, it's all about moving forward. And I was a bit like, that's kind of where you went wrong.
Yeah.
Moved too forward into Adesanya.
Oh, I just think he played into Adesanya's game. Adesanya wiped the floor with him.
Takedown defense was slick.
Was. Just Brunson had nothing for him. It must have been a scary moment, realizing, you know, you just couldn't get this guy to the ground, and then the only other option is to stand with him. And if there's one guy you currently don't want to stand with in the UFC, it's Israel Adesanya.
He had 3 knockdowns in the first round.
Oh, he absolutely, it's
crazy,
tore him apart. You know, Brunson had nothing. And that's Derek Brunson, who was ranked 6th in the world. Like, that's, the level of domination there was pretty scary.
Yep, absolutely. Adesanya is legit. We've been on this hype train for a while. It further continues. Him and Hackbrast sitting high on the choo-choo. They are 2 stops on that train line. Certainly from the Jacamel Superad MMA show anyway. The next fight was an interesting one. I don't necessarily think it should really have even been on the main card, to be fair.
I was impressed by Carl Robertson. I keep calling him Robertson. Just like...
A habit,
yeah.
His, oh man, like, his striking was just, yeah.
First of all, I can't really remember a middleweight more jacked than Carl Robertson, apart from maybe
Mr. Romero.
Yeah, Yoel Romero. Obviously, like, his striking against Marshman was phenomenal. I think the only thing which kept this fight going was the fact that Marshman's chin,
it's ridiculous,
it's made of granite.
Can you think of a fight that you've ever seen someone get hit that consistently and that hard and stay standing?
Not really, no, not off the top
of my head. I really can't. He got struck clean as a whistle on a number of occasions. It was that, struck hard.
Yeah, the straight left, like, pot shot.
The counter.
Yeah, or not even, like, he led with it. Just his level of striking was just so much higher than Marshman. It was nearly unfair. Marshman had nothing for him. Marshman, who's traditionally known as a striker himself, just had absolutely...
He got pieced up.
He did. He had absolutely nothing for him. And yet, it's a bit of a recurring theme with this card. Yet another new force at middleweight.
Yeah, well, more on that in a moment. The next fight is actually one that I wish I had bet on, because last week in the podcast I said that there was something telling me that Jared Cannonier, he just hits that hard, but my common sense prevailed in that, you know, I looked at Branch and just sort of thought, he should beat him. But there was something telling me, and we were talking about this before the podcast, about we need to stick with our guts more when it comes to betting, because if we both do that regularly, in theory, we could be very wealthy, because the odds in Cannonier, he was already the underdog, let alone specifically for the knockout. But, I mean, how the hell was he at heavyweight not that long ago?
I have no idea. I shared with you the picture of him at heavyweight beside him now, and it genuinely looks like 2 entirely different people.
It was like a year ago or something?
I'm not sure if it was that recently, because he had a bit of a run at light heavyweight. No, was it heavy? Last time he fought at heavyweight was 2016, so a couple of years ago, but even still... I did not fancy him going into this. I thought David Branch had and I still believe David Branch probably has better all-round skills. I just think he's getting up there in age. I thought Branch was going to do essentially what he did in the first round, just stuck to him like glue, pressure takedowns. I thought Branch was going to be able to essentially maintain that for three rounds and walk away with a decision, but Cannonier in the second round caught him with a flash of lightning.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, like you said, this is a guy who's fought a heavyweight, now at middleweight, and has clearly brought the power with him.
Yeah, he's clearly just one of those athletic guys that just has it. You know, they say with striking power, you know, you either got it or you don't. You can add to it and you can, you know, refine it, but at its core, you kind of have it or you don't. And then
Jared Cannonier is now the case study of what Roy Nelson could have been.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. He's very similar physique-wise at, you know, whenever they were at the upper end. You know, okay, Cannonier wasn't carrying quite as much of the old beer belly, but he wasn't miles away from
it. No, not at all.
The next one was yet another win for me. I got 7 or 8 to 1 and stuck a tenner on it for Souza to win by TKO. Now, it was cutting it a bit too close for me, but enough of the bragging about the win.
You'll be happy to know I turned my £5 into £20 overall, so I can finally retire from this game.
Excellent. That's enough money. Excellent. To so you've gone from 5 to 12. That's not bad, though. I mean, if you'd put 10 times that on it.
I am a pussy when it comes to betting.
Me too.
I just can't, you know, the figures we're talking about here.
Well, I got fortunate.
I fairly low.
I got fortunate because I do the same. Like, I'd put, I think, like, just under a tenner into the bank, or into the bookie. But the thing was that as the wins progressed, so as the Adesanya one came on, I then put it on the Weidman-Souza fight. And then when that came in, I took some of that and put it on DC, which I'll explain later. But Weidman looked great until he didn't. Which sort of makes sense for Weidman. Yeah,
a recurring theme with Weidman in that he manages to grasp defeat from the jaws of victory. Looked fantastic. The jab was
on point.
Yep, crisp. Just straight down the middle of Jacare's high guard. Jacare's nose was bloodied up pretty early on. Maybe
just between his tiny little eyes.
His tiny little eyes.
He has the smallest eyes of any fully adult grown male I've ever seen.
Like. It does. He lives up to the nickname. Like, he has a genuine alligator aesthetic going on.
He does,
on.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
But Weidman looked good. I also thought Jacare looked good. He went to the body with that left hook a couple of times.
Yeah,
and that changed up Weidman's movement and made him a bit more hesitant to go forward. I mean, I was talking to you during the fight saying that, you know, like, Jacare cannot breathe through his nose, so he's just going to have to essentially, you know, pace himself and then explode with a couple of power shots and then take a step back and, you know, essentially recharge and go again.
I think everyone predicted the one aspect of it that was right. We talked about it in the podcast with a Brazilian jiu-jitsu resident expert, Mike Summers, who, you know, we all kind of said, I think, that, you know, that could have just turned into a kickboxing match, you know, because the grappling just sort of equated each other, you know, and that is kind of what happened. To anybody that's listened to us before, they know that I'm very, very, very partial to the guys that used to cut weight and don't anymore. Making cases for people who are better at heavier weight classes. I do wonder, because Weidman was significantly bigger than Jacare, Jacare, not only before, but also in particular after the rehydration. When they went into the ring, it was like, whew, like, that's a big, big boy.
Jacare is not a small middleweight by any stretch of the imagination, but Weidman,
Weidman's huge.
He's tall as well. He's 6'2". There has been talk of him going up to light heavyweight for a long time.
I think he should. I think it could help his chin. Because that is... this was the questions we had going into this match.
It felt like a matter of time before he got clipped. Like, even the whole way through it, when Jacare just started loading up and come forward. Because he was hitting Weidman.
Yep.
It just felt like a matter of time before something massive landed. Chris Weidman apparently has removed the UFC tag from his Twitter, so make of that what you will. Might be a, I don't know what his contract situation is, but might
be top.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Done? Is that him?
No. I don't know if it's. I don't know if he's like, if he hasn't re-signed. But I thought that the no more fights left.
Yeah. Well, it might be time for a change of scenery for Chris Weidman, because I think, like we said on last week's show, whoever lost this, that's kind of the door closed to the title shot for possibly forever. It's hard to imagine Weidman, 34, working his way back up, because he's going to have to start at the bottom again, because he is also 1-4.
It's hard to see him in Bellator, though.
I think he'd do well in Bellator.
Yeah, well, not when flipping Gegard's got the belt, he won't.
Well, you could do that again.
You could, but I think...
Outside of Gegard, middleweight isn't their strongest division.
True. Karshkov's there.
Lima and Machida, I think, are fighting next for essentially the number one contender fight. And, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Machida Weidman
yeah.
If I was Chris Weidman, I'd be packing the bags and heading to one.
Yeah, or even look at Ryzen.
I think in particular, one are making this big push to sign top tier talent.
Good for them.
Absolutely. But yeah, I just...
I like what one are doing.
Yeah, if Weidman sticks around, who do you give it? You know, like, do you really want to see him fight Derek Brunson? Nope.
Do you know what could potentially be a good passing of the guard? That's exactly what I was going to say, is Adesanya.
But, like, I mean, you'd have to feel bad for Weidman. Like, they must really hate the guy if they, after that, turn around and booked him against Adesanya.
Costa?
See him again.
No, it's a good proof, a good proving ground for Costa, but gives Weidman a chance to go, no, I'm not done yet. You know, either of those fights do that.
True, I just think...
I think the onus is on Weidman. I understand what you're saying, but it's his fault that there's a fall from grace.
Absolutely. I just think with, you know, four bad, and they are bad stoppages in those last five fights, putting him in there with Adesanya, who will tear him apart in the feet. I think the interesting part of that fight isn't really about Weidman. It's more about
how does Adesanya deal with the grappling,
the wrestling. You know, like, Weidman would be the best wrestler he's ever faced by a million miles, and is also huge. Like Costa hits that bloody hard. I'd be worried for Weidman. I think Weidman has all the skills, like technically all the skills in the world. His stand up is maybe a wee bit stiff and limited, especially
fundamental.
Yeah, especially when you've got guys like Adesanya coming through who are just so
crisp
and
unique.
Crisp, yeah. I mean, he can hold his head high. He's had a great career. Beat the greatest middleweight of all time, defended the belt three times. You know, there's not... It comes into that funny thing. It's like, what more does he have to prove in the UFC? Like, he's been to the top of the mountain. He defended it several times. His legacy is cemented forever for beating Anderson Silva.
That's a tricky one, because...
Oh, yeah, I've said to you before, you know, yes, Anderson was fucking around and got caught, and the second one was a leg break. But after that, like, Machida at the time was the second best middleweight in the world.
Yep.
And he handled him, and Vitor coming off the TRT...
But that's another question over that. Whether or not the TRT one, obviously, you know, we shouldn't really be putting for
Weidman,
the case.
Weidman was nearly at the tail end of that group of middleweights. And you always sort of thought,
he hasn't looked the same since no TRT either.
Well, I always sort of thought, like, he was in the new wave of middleweights, but he's nearly not, because the new wave kind of came, thrashed him, left, and we're nearly on to yet another new wave of middleweights, like we just said, with people like Adesanya and Carl Robertson coming through. You know, it's just, I don't know, you know. But then again, devil's advocate, he handled Kelvin Gastelum a year ago, who's now fighting for the title, so.
Yeah, it's a tough one for him. I don't really know where he goes from here. But one thing is for sure, he has had an excellent run. I agree with you 100%. I don't have any any sort of negative comments about Weidman. You know, I've always quite liked him.
What's next for Jacare?
You gotta think he's next in line. You gotta think that after Gastelum and Bobby Knuckles, Whitaker, you know, you'd have to imagine that he's next in line.
Is the one win enough?
Yes. And it's only enough because of the landscape. Souza is now, Souza's fifth at the moment.
But do you think there'll be a public demand for Jacare to get a title shot? Or do you think the hype of Adesanya will take it there, because
they'll not give it to Adesanya yet.
Well, really, the rumor I'm seeing is that Adesanya will be the alternative for the Australia card.
Well, that's funny, because what I'm reading from Adesanya is that he's going for surgery on his knee and taking some time off.
Hadn't seen that.
He's injured. He was injured coming into this fight. His father, of all people, gave him some advice and said, take a week off. He took a week off, had to go by Jeff Nowitzki in USADA to make sure that he was okay to get a cortisone shot in his knee. Got that, took some time off, and just about made it in time to get well enough to fight. But I read a statement from him saying that, you know, he's considering taking some time off and get some surgery. Now, that means nothing, though. Like, don't take that as, absolutely, you know, that what you're saying isn't true. But that's not the rumor I'd heard. But again, that does not mean anything.
I just think it. Middleweight, there isn't.
You can't give him the shot yet. He needs one more. I'm all aboard the hype train, but he needs one more. He needs one more. And what about Souza Adesanya for the belt? Put that in the meantime, if he is fit to fight, the two of them. You know,
Well, I don't really know. Like, you know, first ranked Yoel Romero, you can't have fight.
Well, he's also done a middleweight. Well, he's got to be. He'll not make weight again.
I don't think he will make weight again, but I think he'll get another chance to.
Oh, that makes me feel ill.
But he's just coming off two title fights. Luke Rockhold still, you know, up there. But
eternally injured.
True. He's another guy I'd like to see at light heavyweight. Weidman, like we just said, you know, why he's gone from the picture. Kelvin's getting the next fight, and then Jacare is next. After that, like, there's now a pile of prospects, essentially, in Adesanya, Paulo Costa, Carl Robertson, Thiago Santos has moved up, hasn't he?
Yeah, Robertson Costa would be a nice match.
It would. I just don't think Robertson has enough, like, fanfare yet. They could do Adesanya, Paulo Costa, but I don't see the point in throwing
two prospects
to the Wolves.
No, I agree. I just don't think that Adesanya...
I think there's going to be too much time between now and... So Kelvin and Whittaker are fighting in January?
Yep.
February?
Yep.
You know, so that's 3 months away. Then we're going to have, you know, depending on how injuries and coming out of that, it's usually, you know, minimum 3 months, 3 to 4 months. Like, these guys...
Need another one.
They're probably going to have to fight again. So they might do Jacare, Adesanya.
That's a good matchup, and it really tests his grappling. I would imagine if that were to happen, Souza drags him to the floor and makes light work of it, though.
Well, it's getting him to the floor, as we saw.
There's a bit of a difference. It's a bit of a difference between Derek Brunson.
I'm not
Brunson.
Saying that, but I'm just saying Adesanya...
Derek Brunson, I'm not even sure he's a better wrestler than Adesanya. I mean, he is, of course, but what I mean is, like, you know, in a jokey way, like, you know, his wrestling, he's known as a wrestler, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Well, he is a good wrestler, but, well, Jacare is not a wrestler.
No, I know, but, like, there's more, I think you have more of a threat of it. I think Souza could take him down.
He could take him down, but it's that closing the distance. It's getting close enough to grab him. And I think that's a scary place to be with Adesanya. And especially how we saw Jacare against Weidman. He would not be able to do that against Adesanya.
No, he wouldn't.
You can't just walk through the strikes, you know.
I don't think that would be the method at all. I think he would eventually get him down. Be sure to let us know who you think is going to get the next title shot at middleweight, or what way do you see the middleweight division panning out. You can, of course, tweet us at the Super Rad MMA Show on Twitter, and you can get us on facebook.com/SuperRadMMA. The main event, which was probably the most predictable fight I think I've ever watched in terms of... Yep. If you could write a script or if you were to choreograph it, it would have gone down exactly as we thought. We even debated whether or not it would happen towards the end of the first or end of the second, and it nearly did happen towards the end of the first, and then did happen in the second. So, it's a couple of interesting things with this. First of all, I want to try and say some good about Derek Lewis. I thought that his cardio looked good. Not a great sample size, I'll give you, but... I didn't think that he seemed particularly tired after the first round of pretty much getting, you know, laid on. You know, not that doesn't prove anything.
I don't really want to pat him on the back for that. He's a championship level fighter, and should probably be able to handle a round of anything.
I'm not applauding him for having cardio. I'm applauding him for making such improvements in a short space of time. That's a very different thing. I still believe he should have made card. Like we've talked about this before. The fact that Derek Lewis is the number two ranked heavyweight in the world's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because really, short of intangibles, there's nothing. His entire game is based around the fact that he has freak power. Yes. Without that, he has nothing.
Comparatively to the other strikers, you know, is he a better technical striker than Overeem? Absolutely not. Is he a better wrestler than Blades or DC? Absolutely not. Is his jiu-jitsu game better than Verdum's or even close? Absolutely not. But when you've got that freaky power and you're a giant man, makes up for a lot.
Well, that's exactly my point, you know, and it's not me trying to be negative, because it's like his coach Perez said, if he had tried to make Derek Lewis too technical, you'd have ruined what makes him intrinsically him. I'm just saying that, you know, so Daniel Cormier has intangibles and an immense amount of kickboxing skill and an immense amount of wrestling skill. Derek Lewis has an exceptional amount of tangibles, which is what has allowed his great success. You know, it is just his game is based around his intangibles and his intangibles only. Now, his intangibles have got him further than I'd imagine he ever thought he'd get. But, you know, I'm the biggest Derek Lewis fan ever. I love him. We were sitting, even before watching, just like sitting saying, like, could you imagine? Just imagine if DL lifts the belt.
I said this to you. I think this is as far as the UFC really want them to go.
Yeah.
Because he says some pretty mad things, which is nice, but I think the UFC likes having people like DC who, you know, good company man, not necessarily toes the line, because DC can be, you know, heated and controversial, but it's usually about an aspect of the sport, not,
you know, not a person.
Yeah. And I just think that, like, Derek Lewis probably didn't fit the profile which the UFC would have particularly wanted, being essentially the face of their company. But yeah, like, credit to DC, didn't go in, wasn't lulled into an ego battle of standing with him or anything like that. Super professional, took him down, dealt with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally what we expected. You know, he did take him down, and he does this to people, and we should have, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. He has always done this to people, and he's done it to people better than Derek Lewis, so it wasn't surprising to me that he took his back and choked him. I just think that DC is so bloody good.
He is a fighter who has never abandoned what he's good at.
No.
We were actually talking about this last week with Mike. We were talking about Damian Maya. You know, all of a sudden had a bit of success striking, so abandoned his excellent jiu-jitsu game. Chris Weidman's another example. Wrestled his way to a title shot against Anderson Silva, knocked him out in the feet, and then all of a sudden became, you know, a bit of a kickboxer. DC has never abandoned the wrestling, the ground pressure. Not to say DC striking isn't good, because it's obviously great as well, but it does not, it's risk management. You know, he does not need to prove anything by standing on the feet with Derek Lewis when he can take him down so easily, like he proved over and over again. He finds the most effective way to win, and he carries that out. He's essentially the ultimate professional.
Yeah, 100%, and that's what makes him so good. Exactly. Their game planning, I mean, we talked about earlier when we were talking about Stipe, and you were saying, like, they had game planned that to oblivion, and, like, you know, they did, and that's what makes him different. He's just a consummate professional at all times. Mm-hmm. Thus brings us to the news. Much more of a limited approach to the news this week, purely because there's a handful of things you want to focus heavily on instead of all the tidbits. One thing, by the way, Dana White said Israel Adesanya is the future. Not only that, it pisses me off because, you know, this is the same, you know, this guy was never my friend. You know, like Dana.
Sing when you're winning.
Yeah, do you know what it is? It's, if you're winning, unzip it, unroll it, and I'll take it. That's basically, that should be, Dana should get a t-shirt saying that because, like I don't know how deep he's swallowing that big old cock of Adesanya's leg, but it's literally anyone that he thinks he can milk the nips, the money nips of, he will just...
Milk those nips till they're...
He'll do more than milk the nips, he'll do whatever it takes.
Shift and raw.
Little dirty days, oh, it annoys me. Anyway,
but in fairness, that is his game, like if you're a promoter...
Yeah, but at least be subtle.
Nah, fuck subtlety, get that...
No, the public shouldn't be able to, the public shouldn't know that he's literally going down on yeah, that's literally, that's from now, we are going to get a soundboard, but that's one of the sounds for Dana White, just literally someone just, that's literally it. So the biggest news of this week, and we had a fairly lively debate earlier, which I kind of wish that we'd saved for the podcast, but I'm sure that we will sort of echo the same sentiments here. I'm going to butcher this name.
Tenshin Nasukawa.
Yep, Tenshin Nasukawa is how I would have pronounced it. So at least we're both in the shit now. Floyd Mayweather signs with Ryzen, and there's a fight happening now.
Excellent news.
Terrible news. We have very different stances on this. I will summarize mine, you do the same, and then we will discuss. My problem with this is when I asked my girlfriend, or said to her, and you were here, said, Mayweather's fighting in Ryzen, another MMA organization. And she was like, in a boxing match? And I said, probably. And she went, well, what's the point in that? Mayweather's just going to win. And that's exactly my point with it. I will, of course, watch. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not going to watch this. But I just think that, you know, Ryzen, it is good publicity for them, but it's good publicity for this event, but it confuses people as to exactly what Ryzen is, because I'm confused as to what it is. Because this, to me, Ryzen is an MMA organization, so unless he's going to fight in some form of MMA rules or kickboxing rules, this seems really dumb. Now, to be fair, devil's advocate, they haven't formally announced the rule set, but I can see it now. Barefoot, no kicks, modified clinch.
Yep.
What the fuck's the point? What's the point? Who wants to see this? Who, like...
Me.
Why? Why are you interested when you know what the result's going to be?
Because it's still seeing the best in a particular discipline come across.
But not against someone... you know, you want to see the best fight the best.
Tenshin Nasukawa
is not the best boxer.
No, but he is a very, very highly touted boxer.
He's an incredibly talented kickboxer.
No, he has been touted and lined up and offered many times to transition to professional boxing and hasn't.
Transition. That's the key word. Yeah, so he's not on Mayweather's level.
But this is...
No one is.
But he's not... Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't mean I don't want to see him compete just because he's better than everyone.
No, but I want to see him compete in his field, to stay in his fucking lane and not...
Nah.
I'm not
for this. But you know why? Because that's bullshit. Because then we wouldn't have elite jiu-jitsu players coming over. We wouldn't have elite kickboxers transitioning into MMA.
But this isn't transitioning into MMA.
No, but like this... Yes, fair enough. This is modified rules.
Which is bullshit. That's my problem with it. It's purely just the rule set. Which, to be fair, as I said, hasn't been announced. But my problem is I can see the rule set coming and it makes me feel like shit because it doesn't promote mixed martial arts. As a mixed martial arts fan and as somebody who wants to see every mixed martial arts organization do well... This does nothing other than line their pockets, which is good.
All promotions line their pockets.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. That's good. But it does not promote them as a mixed martial arts organization.
Absolutely does.
It
gets the biggest star, you could argue with maybe Conor, the biggest star in combat sports is competing in your promotion. Now, it doesn't matter what rule sets it is.
I disagree.
It brings more eyes than anybody has ever seen on Ryzen before. People in the West, unless you're the most hardcore of hardcore fans, haven't heard of Ryzen.
True.
It has become a household name overnight.
Yep.
Fighters going forward, it has that prestige. For those who want the glory days of Pride to come back, this is about as close as you're going to get and could start essentially a revolution of combat sports in Japan once again, I am all on board. I don't care that it's modified rules. This is Nasukawa is not a pushover and will not be a pushover in striking, especially if it is in any way modified, which it will be, because it will not be straight boxing.
It's going to be as close to straight boxing as you can imagine.
Yeah, it's stacked in Floyd's favor,
which is my issue, because the other thing you need to remember is it's great having the platform to promote Ryzen, and I would agree with you. This is exactly my point.
I said to you all fair, and this is my thing. This is Ryzen, so I don't care about how they do it. Ryzen aren't telling me, like the UFC have told me for you. If this was in the UFC, I'd be throwing a hissy fit. Don't get me wrong, but Ryzen haven't been telling me like the UFC have been telling me. This is where the elite come to fight the elite. This is, you know, the purest form. There's no bullshit. The best fight the best over and over. This isn't. Ryzen is very much based on entertainment as well. Hence with Nasukawa's last fight was in kickboxing against Kyoji Horiguchi, as you know, possibly the best flyweight on earth at the minute, in kickboxing. Now, that had no merit because Horiguchi is not a kickboxer, but it's more based in entertainment. It's seeing best of both worlds essentially come together, so I'm all on board.
But Horiguchi had a chance.
And Nasukawa has a chance.
Only if the rules are more heavily modified than a bit of clinching. He doesn't have. This is my point, is that. Well, there's two points for me, there's two problems. One, you're handing Mayweather another victory. That's it, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't think we can entirely write that. No, I do.
Until we know the rules, yeah.
I can't entirely agree with that until we know the rules.
True.
If there's kicks, he's fucked.
Yeah, I agreed. I actually texted, funny enough, our boxing coach and good friend and special guest of the podcast, Andy Burrows. I actually messaged him last night. I said to him, if they allow modified clinching and any form of kicks, I'm betting the house on Nasukawa. That's how strongly
or
I feel.
Knees in the clinch? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. But they won't.
My issue with this, more so than actual rule sets, is the size difference.
I don't think that that's as big.
I think it is. I don't think Nasukawa has fought above 125 pounds. And I think Floyd hasn't dropped under 145 in years. So we're talking a 20-pound difference.
Like I don't think...
Have you seen the picture of them beside
each other? Yeah.
Floyd looks...
He does look larger. There's no doubt about it.
A lot larger.
But the thing is, this is exactly my point. It's Floyd only takes fights that he knows he'll win, which isn't a fighter. That's not a fighter. Like, a fighter will fight anybody, anytime, anywhere.
Don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, look, not exclusively. Like, as in, just because DC wouldn't do that doesn't mean I don't think he's a fighter. But to say that Floyd's not cherry-picking and taking, you know, silly fights, not like that.
You know, because, like, and I don't like the guy. He's a detestable human being. But I can't fault his way of doing business, because it has made him the most money with the least risk. And he has, and even when I say with the least risk, he has fought all the top guys.
He has fought them at
good times, but that's smart.
At the
end of the day, that's what, you know, you're in this game to make money, not get hurt, and get out.
I understand that, I do, but my problem in terms of this is twofold, as I said. One, unless there is a drastic rule change, which I can't see happening. Do you know why? Because Floyd wouldn't allow it, because he's a bitch. He wants to make out like he's going to step into someone else's lane and world. It's the same as him running his mouth saying he was going to come into the cage and fight Conor. He was never going to fucking do it.
But that's just promotion.
But it's not promotion. It's lying. It's lying.
Agitated about
Yes, because I hate fucking liars. It's scumbaggery lying to fans like that. You know, you don't...
There's no integrity in this.
No, that's my point. There's no integrity in this.
No,
none.
No,
none.
Not just Floyd, just in the game in general.
No,
it's
there is
a,
no,
it's
no,
not
no,
about
no,
this,
no,
this
no. There is 100%. There is integrity in this sport.
Getting out.
There is integrity in this sport. That's what separates it from boxing.
Right. Okay,
it's one of the reasons that I'm losing.
The super integrity in the sport. We literally just had the biggest fight ever in it, where they were calling each other Muslim rats, terrorists,
which we said.
Which ended in a post-fight brawl. There is no
which
integrity.
We said discredited the sport.
I don't say it did discredit the sport.
Well,
it hasn't changed. People will still tune in and watch. This is what it is. It's a barbaric sport.
But it's no, because this is my problem. Is that the part of the reason that, like, we on air have both discussed how we don't like how the UFC is going?
I can disagree with the company's projection, but as for the sport itself and fighting itself, I've got over this virtuistic bullshit of it's. guys meditating up a mountain and it's inner
peace. Of course it's not. It's, but you can't, you can't lie to
this
people.
This is a job. It's about making yourself a living and getting out.
No, but the part of what appeals to me about this sport, and I know that you've said similar, is that bullshit doesn't, you know, like, it's like the same as in like a BJJ gym. Like, bullshit doesn't.
I can understand that. But if this was pro wrestling or something, he's still going to get in there.
No, but
he's
that's
still
my point. Is that it might as fucking well be pro wrestling.
You know what? See, that's.
This fight might as well be fucking pro wrestling.
Yes, there is a heavy, heavy favorite, but you can't discredit it as a fight overall. People
Why?
Are because it's still
with
combat.
A rigged rule set.
How's it rigged?
Because
the guy is a champion kickboxer.
Yes, and he will not be able to fucking kick. You mark my words.
We don't know that.
We
yet.
Do.
Like, you're getting all.
I've said that.
About
I have said. I have said that.
Yet.
I have said that, and I have also said that if kicks are allowed, I would bet the house on Nasukawa. But my problem is that I do not believe for a split second that Floyd Mayweather would have the fucking balls, because all he has done is lied about what he would and wouldn't do in a cage. He's full of fucking shit. And you're falling for it.
I'm hardly falling for it. I'm not saying he's fighting.
No, but you are
MMA.
Because you're pandering to it by being like, oh, I don't see the problem with him doing that.
I know, because I don't, because it doesn't.
Why?
Because it doesn't affect anything.
But it does. It affects. This is my point. It affects Ryzen, because hear
me
out.
It's affect Ryzen for the positive.
They're going, no, for that night. But hear me out.
No, for the long term.
Right. So let's say devil's advocate. We're sitting watching it. We've never seen it before, right? Mm-hmm. And we go, oh my God, Floyd Mayweather's fighting. We'll tune in and watch it. Yep. You tune in the next week and see a night of mixed martial arts fights. You're going to go, what the fuck? This isn't the same thing I watched last week. Not watching that again.
Yeah, I can understand that if it was like 1999, but like the world is aware of mixed martial arts.
But the world is not aware that Ryzen is of mixed martial arts. You literally highlighted that yourself.
This will be explained when this is.
How
announced?
Are they going to explain that? Oh, because we're a mixed martial arts organization. But we're going to do a boxing match and pander to Floyd Mayweather.
They've done kickboxing. One have done boxing in a cage. Like, rules are explained before each fight. They are literally going to explain these are the rules before the fight.
Yeah, but it's a boxing match. There's an avenue for that.
Well,
it doesn't need to
we
be.
We don't know that. You're getting all worked up about it being a boxing
match. I'm not.
Match.
I'm saying that if it is, which is what it will be, it's more than likely going to be that. I've also said
well,
that
then,
I believe
I,
it.
Well, then if it's a boxing match, I really don't give a shit, because then they're that. They, as a promotion, are promoting the best boxer who's possibly ever done it with the biggest name who will make the most money.
Against someone that isn't a boxer. Well, that's dumb. It's not, no, but it's not an entertaining fight then. There's no for a fight to
was
be...
Was Conor and Floyd entertaining? I hated it.
I hated it as well.
But I can,
and
I can understand it.
Oh, but here's the difference.
I'm having the exact same thing with this.
No, but here's the difference. There's a massive difference. The difference there is that...
Was it not more commendable that he's going, right, fair enough, he's not going entirely to MMA, but he's not fighting an MMA fighter.
But yes.
He's making more concessions than he did against Conor, so is that not more admirable?
But that's because there's less risk.
Not necessarily. Depends. It 100% depends what form of rules come out.
I agree with you on that, but
Nasukawa, with some form of rules, is ridiculously dangerous.
Yes, I completely agree with that, and that is exactly my point.
But you're completely writing him off.
I'm not. I'm writing him off if they give Floyd his rule set, and I've already
you don't even know what that is.
No, but that's my point. The discussion that I have had so far has been, if it is with any rules to do with kicking, I heavily favour Nasukawa because I know he is a legit kickboxer, which is my point. They won't do that because they also know that he is a legit kickboxer, which means vis-a-vis 99.9% fucking certain that it's going to be a glorified boxing match. Come on. Like, it is, and that's bullshit. That's pointless. It doesn't promote an MMA organization. It promotes them as a boxing promoter.
It doesn't.
It does, though.
It doesn't. It is a... Like, we stick the... Mixed martial arts can include anything.
Yes, I know that, but that is not what the sport of mixed martial arts is.
But they're not saying that. They're not saying this is to promote the integrity of mixed martial arts.
It's not about integrity of mixed martial arts in this instance. What I'm
they're not promoting it as an MMA fight either.
But they promote themselves as an MMA organization. Like that, they literally are described as
that is inclusive of all they have had. Like I've said before, boxing fights, kickboxing fights, exhibition fights, everything before. Like that, just saying something is mixed martial doesn't mean that everything which they produce has to subscribe to the unified rules of mixed martial arts.
No, but what I'm saying, that's exactly my point. What I'm trying to say is that that is why I'm against this fight, because it doesn't do mixed martial arts any favours. It muddies the waters further, and then you'll hear the, oh, Floyd beat up an MMA guy. No, he didn't. Like, this is going to cause so much confusion between casual fans.
I really will. I really don't think so.
I strongly think it will.
Joe Bloggs hasn't heard of Tenshin Nasukawa as of 24 hours
ago. That's good. But what are they going to do? They're going to look it up and go, oh, he's a kickboxer.
Yeah.
So if it's kickboxing, he'll win. And if it's boxing, Mayweather will win.
So how does that affect the MMA?
Because what affects MMA is an organization.
Well, you're saying it muddies the waters.
The people who, as I've said, that tune in to Ryzen because of this fight and then tune in after that and they're like, what the fuck? Like, this is completely different.
It'll be explained. People know that Floyd is a boxer. And if they look up Nasukawa, they're going to find out he's a kickboxer.
So why the fuck not?
So they're going to think it's a boxer versus kickboxer in some sort of hybrid kickboxing environment.
No one's
going to think it's a cage fight. It's not even in a cage.
It stinks.
It really does nothing to harm.
It stinks of Floyd not wanting to fight any boxers just because he knows this is an easy day out for him.
Why's Floyd got to fight boxers?
That's my point. He doesn't. So what's wrong with him trying something?
New?
Don't step in somewhere that you've no intention of doing it with full fucking rules. Don't bother.
Why does he have to? He's in a unique position.
But my issue isn't with him in this. It's with Ryzen.
Because they're pandering to that. If you're a promoter and Floyd Mayweather says, I'm willing to fight in your promotion, you go, yes, please.
Yeah, if it was our promotion, I'd like to think that we'd be like, well, we're an MMA organization. You'd have to fight under the unified rule set like everyone else. You don't get special treatment just because you're Floyd Mayweather.
I think unless it's just about money.
Like, which this clearly fucking is, and that's
my
point.
It's the same thing we
criticize the UFC for week in, week out. We criticise them openly on this podcast week in, week out.
What I've just said, though, when we started this, is that the UFC have been hammering it down our throats for years, and I 100% agree, and I think this is admirable, not going to argue, is that it's the best fighting the best, and it's to prove the best fighter or not. This is not this. I've told you, if this was in the UFC, I'd be at the front of the line shouting bullshit. But it's not.
No one
is claiming that this is a legitimate sporting experience. This is essentially an entertainment exhibition fight.
I don't see how it harms anybody. But that's not what it's being billed as. It's being billed as the main event of an MMA event. Because that's what the company is. So it does, like, it does, it you're, by default, it does, it leaves the exact same.
Did you have a problem in Horiguchi and Nasukawa kickboxed at the last Ryzen?
Well, I didn't watch it.
But that's what I mean, so why does it bother you so much that this promotion, which you don't watch, is putting on essentially some weird exhibition
fight? It bothers me that it's supposed to be big news.
It is big news. But why?
It's just another fucking pathetic attempt for him to...
Because he's the biggest combat star... A combat athlete in the world.
Fighting in as close to a rigged fight as you can get.
He's fighting outside his rules. It's still big news.
It's pointless. It's money. That's it.
I don't know. Like, this is this virtuistic outview. Of course it's money. What's wrong with it being money?
What's wrong with it is the fact that nothing for Floyd Mayweather.
It's going to make Ryzen a bunch of money. It's going to make Nasukawa more money than he's ever earned.
Correct.
It's going to probably bring more eyes onto Ryzen, which... Fair enough, even if people tune into the next one and don't like it, they'll still tune in to see what it is.
Mark my words.
It'll bring up purses in the car.
Floyd Mayweather wins that fight and we'll hear casuals saying, like, see, MMA guys, blah, blah, blah. Even though I know that it's not.
Well, who cares? They're fucking stupid anyway.
But that's my point.
That's my point.
This doesn't help promote MMA, so don't do it in an MMA organization. Do it in your fucking boxing ring.
Like, he's done it in his boxing ring. He's beaten the biggest.
Yeah,
MMA
so what
star.
Does he do then? He goes and beats someone who doesn't practice that discipline again.
But no one's claiming it's MMA. If Floyd comes out after
Ryzen are claiming they're an MMA organization.
They're a combat sports organization. They're kickboxing. I've said before, they're boxing. They've had exhibition fights.
Yeah.
There's no rigid, strict rules which say we must only promote fights.
Well, don't use
MMA
the MMA
rules.
Term. Don't.
You're getting uptight about nothing.
I'm not getting uptight about it. I think that mixed martial arts, if we are to actually try and, like you said yourself, how you would be raging if this was the UFC.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
The UFC have presented a very different organization for themselves. They have never promoted anything other than mixed martial arts. They have claimed to be the premier mixed martial arts organization where the best fight the best. that's fine. And if they did something like this, it'd be bullshit. And if they ever signed Floyd Mayweather, I would 100% expect him to fight full MMA roles like they did with James Toney.
Yep.
However, this is not the same beast.
But this is the problem.
This does not harm MMA's reputation in the slightest. Now, if Floyd Mayweather comes out afterwards and starts saying, oh, I came into MMA and fought, I'll be calling bullshit on that.
He's already been saying like that kind of thing.
No, because
like,
they've all been flirting with each other. Habib Mayweather, Conor Mayweather too. We've already had
But this is the thing. If you're going to go and do it...
People can say and do...
If you're going to do it, be a man about it and go and just take the other rule set without question. Like, you don't... Like, this is my problem with it, and I don't understand why it's so difficult to understand.
He's just being smart.
No, he's not. He's bending a company over the barrel to get
being
an
smart.
Easy... No. Well, yes, it is for him and him only, but it's pulling the wool over the more casualized fans who don't understand that what he is literally doing is as close to rigging a fight as possible. Now, as I said, I will take all of this back if it turns out that the rule set allows kicking, and if it does, he's in absolute Foxville.
He is not in a rigged fight.
It is as close
to...
It
can't be rigged. Nasukawa will have agreed to a rule set. He is an adult man. He is active.
Yes.
You know, he is... consented
who's essentially
to this.
Yes, he has, because he's getting a large sum of money.
Yes,
but if he had his way,
that's what prize fighting is.
Yes, but this is my point, is that if he had a choice, he would be doing it under the rule set that he wants. But he's not the one with the sway here. So what happens?
You're absolutely
exactly
right.
Exactly. So it's as close to rigged to fucking Mayweather's favor as it can
get. Rigged.
It's not rigged because it's still skill. Rigged isn't the right word. But what I'm saying is that
whether you like it or not. High-profile fighters, high-profile athletes, high-profile people in general. It's the world we live in. People have sway.
Yeah, and that's...
I'm not going to shit on the guy for using it. Like, it's...
I'm not shitting
on him
for using it. I think that Ryzen are...
I think it's the smartest thing Ryzen have ever done.
That's only because it's got them in the headlines. My concern...
Exactly.
Yes, but that's not my concern. My concern is what happens after that fight. I'm confused as to what they are, because it was my understanding that they were an MMA organization.
It'll essentially be an exhibition fight, and they'll move on with what they're doing.
Right, but hear me out, right?
Just far more eyes will be on it.
As a more than casual fan, someone that watches this sport for a living, if I was under the impression that Ryzen, and I know that they had other bouts, but if they were predominantly a mixed martial arts organization, and you can't tell me that doesn't become confusing, because I'm confused by it already.
They're essentially a combat sports organization.
But that's not what they've been marketed as. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where my problem lies.
There's been no issues with every other card they've ever put on, people being confused. It's the same as K1 did for years. There was MMA, there was kickboxing, there was this, that, and the other.
People wondered why it didn't take off then, though.
What, K1?
Well, K1 was big, but it wasn't...
K1 was massive.
Yes, but it wasn't fucking...
Right, well, they're clearly trying to reignite some interest in combat sports in Asia, in particular Japan. I've no issue with it. Pride had a bunch of silly rule fights as well.
But again, they got laughed at for that.
Not necessarily. They were considered...
Not by maybe the Asian market, but by the Western market, a lot of those fights...
They were considered absolutely on par with the UFC, if not ahead of them before.
No, but I'm talking about some of the odd ruled fights. Like, they've always been kind of held in weird regard.
There's a balance of entertainment and sports to be had here, so this is finding a medium for... The best boxer of all time to compete in a non-boxing
for him
fight.
To win. Like, look.
And what if he doesn't?
If he doesn't, then I've been completely wrong. And I'm not ashamed to say that. But what I've said as well is that if they allow any kind of kick, he's fucked. But they won't, because he knows that. So it means that this is...
It's a pointless fight.
Why? It's because we know what's going to fucking happen. It's the same thing with McGregor and Mayweather. We all knew what was going to happen.
But we can predict what happens in many... You said it yourself, like DC Lewis was the most predictable fight you've seen in years.
Yeah, and we both didn't make it any less... But here's the difference.
No, because they weren't
asking for different rules for that fight to happen.
But Nasukawa hasn't asked for different rules, as far as we know. He has agreed to whatever these rules are.
Because he's getting paid a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, that's what prize fighting is. You get paid to fight in the Ryzen, not him. Yes, but you get paid to agree to fight within a particular set of rules. If he was that opposed to whatever these rules are, and he wasn't happy with the amount he was getting paid, he is under no obligation to do that.
Oh, I agree.
So,
but
it's not pointless.
No.
It's not pointless. This guy has a chance, albeit probably a slim chance. We don't know what the rules are. But he has a chance to beat the best boxer ever.
Same way
McGregor did. There's no such thing as like a foregone conclusion. He can be heavily favored. He can be 99%, you know, picked to win, which he probably will be. But this is a fight. You can never take anything out of a fight. And this is a guy who is super skilled in the stand-up game. So if there's any clinching, any knees, anything, it opens it up. Now, Mayweather is obviously a super smart businessman who has stacked the deck in his favor, or has stacked the
my point.
Or has stacked the negotiations in his favor, but it doesn't change anything.
It does. It makes it boring.
It doesn't. Right, well, then don't watch it.
I probably won't watch it live, and I'm only talking about it because we have to. It's our job. But otherwise, I wouldn't really have anything.
But I just don't understand what your big problem
with
it is.
My big problem with it is that I think that it's a pointless fight. Like, it is in the headlines, and it benefits Ryzen in terms of marketing.
So then how's it pointless?
Because they're selling snake oil. There is no fucking fight.
You don't know that yet.
Until the rules. But we know that Mayweather wouldn't take this fight with kicks. Because he's a pussy.
You can keep calling someone a pussy and a bitch and this, that, and the other, but he's not.
I'd fight him in a cage.
Well, that's good for you.
No, but this is my point, is that you know full well what would happen to him.
I know that.
But that's my point. But he's also not prepared to give up any of that.
Yes, because he is self-aware that he is not an MMA fighter, so why would he fight
MMA? Don't fuck around with MMA, guys. Don't fuck around
Who's he fucking around with? Well, the only people who are ever talking about each other is Conor, Habib, and Floyd. And it's pathetic that they all keep going back and forward. Apart from that, it's not going to happen.
But
Floyd is a 40-whatever-year-old man who is retired from competitive boxing. This is essentially just an ex.
I just think it's pathetic that people would pay him money to get
him.
I know that. When did I say they weren't? I'm saying I think it's pathetic that the people are prepared to put Cloyd in this as if it's something we need to watch. It's why the fuck do you need to watch this?
Because it's entertaining.
It's
seeing how a top kickboxer does against arguably the best boxer.
But it's
ever.
Not. It's seeing how the top kickboxer does against the top boxer, more than likely. Yeah, we know. We already know how that's going to go.
It doesn't make it any less entertaining.
I disagree. I think it really does. I think that unless there is no point in that, you know, Floyd has nothing to prove in boxing, and boxing the ears off somebody who's a kickboxer doesn't change that. The only way that he gets any kudos or credibility from me, the only way that this actually benefits mixed martial arts.
Why has it got to benefit mixed martial arts? It's not
because it's happening in a mixed martial arts company.
They're not a mixed martial. It's just a fight company.
That's what they've built themselves. It's not saying
they have been putting on fights not under
their
mixed martial arts.
Their website literally states
as
a leading mixed martial arts
organization. It doesn't mean they have to be exclusively mixed martial arts.
I disagree. Because then this should just be in boxing. That's my point.
Why?
Stay in your fucking lane.
Why have people got to stay in their lane?
Because what is the point? And there is already an avenue for boxing.
Because this isn't the boxing, and this isn't MMA, and this isn't kickboxing. This is a hybrid fight. It's an exhibition fight.
We will have to wait and see what the rules are, but I think that it's silly for anyone to think that these rules aren't just going to be essentially as going to be made things like you said earlier on, like barefoot and stuff. Like, yes, that makes a difference, but not a lot comparatively. Between a boxer and a kickboxer, if you remove the kickboxing from the kickboxer and you remove the shoes from the boxer, that is not a fucking equal trade-off. That doesn't make an entertaining fight.
We can't argue over the rules. We don't
know. No, correct. But all of my premise is based on the fact that, I don't know how you can't acknowledge that you could be pretty fucking certain that this ain't no kickboxing bout.
I'm not saying it's kickboxing. It's a hybrid exhibition fight, essentially.
But hybrid is what I'm saying.
It is hybrid.
That's the bullshit that they're selling. That doesn't mean anything. Because you've given them different gloves?
Yes, it's literal fact. If it is not 100% boxing rule sets, and it's not 100%.
No,
kickboxing.
I understand
it's
that.
Hybrid.
But what I'm saying is, you're falling for that having some kind of sway. Like,
because
hybrid rules should mean a merging of the two rule sets. Like, kicks,
for instance. Not fully. They will take.
No,
from
you're
both.
Right. They will take the bits that suit Floyd because he says so.
But that doesn't change what I'm saying.
No, but it changes the point of the fight.
There is no point to this fight. It's just entertainment. It's an exhibition.
So it is like wrestling then?
No,
if it's just for entertainment and it has a pretty much predetermined outcome?
No, because it is still a fight. It's the same reason things like... Not every fight has to have major consequences. It's just a fight. It's to see who's better
on
the night.
It's a sideshow. It's a circus.
It is a bit of a freak show, but that's not what I'm arguing.
What I'm arguing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it shouldn't be so offensive. Like, these things have happened for... forever. It's not a big injustice that's a boxer is fighting a kickboxer?
It's just pathetic. It's just a pathetic waste of
I don't think so. I think it's a super savvy move by Ryzen.
Ryzen will do well out of it in the short term.
I don't think anybody suffers from this.
Ryzen will do well out of it in the short term.
That's my argument. I don't think anybody comes out of this bad.
The only
thing I've said to you is that if Mayweather starts sprouting off that he beat an MMA fighter, that's obviously bullshit.
I worry that Ryzen do kind of come out of it bad longer term, because I do genuinely believe that it is a bit confusing to have different rule sets and then have to explain them. And I think that if you're going to, then that should be their stance. That should be the company that they are then.
What?
They should be a company that does a very... we are a large company who do a variety of martial art competitions or bouts. But that's exactly not what they do.
No, that's not
what I'm saying. That's not what they bill themselves as. They bill themselves as an MMA organization.
They are Ryzen Fighting Federation. So if it falls under fighting, I'm pretty sure you can include it.
Well, I'm just going off.
Mixed martial arts to me doesn't imply that it has to be mixed martial arts rules. It literally could be any mixture of martial arts.
Yeah, well, I just think that the fight's a joke. And I just really don't see the point in it other than an excuse for fucking Mayweather to get in the press again and earn a ridiculous amount of money for what is essentially... I'm not saying anything different to what people said about the McGregor and Mayweather fight. That's the thing that's baffling to me. It's like, it's just another one of those. And
this to me has far more benefit because it brings eyes to a major promotion elsewhere in the world. McGregor Mayweather was literally just lining both of their pockets.
But that's kind of like that. That's what Mayweather's goal in this is. He doesn't give a fuck about Ryzen.
Well, but Ryzen are using him, which is
They're not. They're paying him. That's not using someone.
Well, it's yes, because there comes the whole show of having Mayweather on. Yes, you're going to get paid to fight.
So you're not. They're not using him. They're paying him to avail of that.
That's different. It's the same way that Conor McGregor gets paid by the UFC. The UFC obviously use Conor McGregor for promotional material. It's the exact same thing.
But the way you said that there suggested like they were using him, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? The way that you phrased that there made it sound like you were suggesting that Mayweather was being used by Ryzen.
No, that's not what I mean.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But I just think that it's a fucking joke. I really do. It bugs me because it's just something that should be happening. And it's just, fair fucks, to Nasukawa. I just think, why not just go and do it in the boxing ring? Fill out the fucking...
He's got even less chance there. And he would never, ever get that fight in boxing.
That's exactly my point. He would never get that fight in boxing. But until we know the rule set, neither of us can comment on what it is and isn't. But it will not be boxing. It will be a lot closer to boxing than you or I would like to think.
But that's not what I'm saying. It will not be boxing. It will not be 8-ounce, 10-ounce boxing gloves with shoes.
But that's what I mean, is that doesn't make it not boxing to me. You have to put kicks in. You have to do something that is intrinsically not boxing to make it anything other than a boxing bout. That is exactly where my worry comes with this.
We don't know. We don't know what the rounds, how many rounds will be, how long a round will be. What the clinch rules will be.
The clinch rules could be an interesting one. Yeah. That is somewhere that we could see, Floyd get pieced up a bit. But it has to be kicks. There has to be kicks. If there's not kicks, this is pointless to me.
It's just an exhibition fight.
Yeah, but there you go. An exhibition fight.
But
so.
no one's claiming that this is to prove anything. This is, no one. Ryzen haven't come out and said that. Floyd hasn't come out and said that.
I just feel like
Asakawa hasn't come out and said that. I don't think there's any losers in this.
I feel like I'd be a hypocrite for criticizing the UFC for putting on money fights and then not doing the same with this.
The UFC are marketing themselves. Dana White, the president, has come out and said for a decade, two decades, that it's the best fighting the best under mixed martial arts rules.
I understand that.
So yes, I 100% agree. If the UFC were doing this, but this is not the UFC.
No, I understand that. But my point is that if you are basically going to do it, and again, most of this all comes down to the rules. But my point is with that, if the rules are not anything other than boxing, essentially, then it is a completely pointless fight. And it's a completely pointless fight that is done for no reason
other than to bring eyes to it. The difference
that,
is...
that in itself is the point.
No, because whenever McGregor went over to boxing, this it was slightly different because he went over to an already... They didn't make up their own rules for that fight, which is what they're talking about doing here, which in itself is ridiculous and no one's acknowledging that here. Like, they're just making up a new sport just so that Mayweather can have a fight that's fair. That's bullshit. That's fucking bullshit. There's plenty of rule sets that exist. Pick one and fight under it. Don't make up a new one just because it suits you. Can you not see merit in that?
Well,
just picking and choosing rule sets that don't exist.
Otherwise, we wouldn't even have mixed martial arts if that was the case, because people would have just said, well, stick to jiu-jitsu, stick to boxing.
No, but the whole point of that was
don't
that there was...
Don't make up a new set of rules.
No, because the whole point of that was that there were no rules and no restrictions, or very, very few. That was the difference, was that that was, you know, that was to discover which martial arts were the best, which combat sports were the best. That's completely different. But going in and going, well, I'll fight you, but only under these completely made up rules that have never existed before, but we'll make them just for this fight.
Well,
no, it's
we
pointless.
Don't know. We don't know. We don't even know what they
correct,
are.
Correct.
But like,
correct.
There's always new variations of fight. Look at, what do you call it, Baz Rutten's karate league thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new form of fighting.
Yes, but it's a new form of fighting that a group of people are all fighting in as, you know, as a new sport. This isn't the starting
this,
a new sport.
But this isn't,
this
isn't changing any of the sports which are pre-existing. I don't know why it's so offensive.
No, it is. It is, though. It takes away from credibility
what?
Of Ryzen.
How?
Because if they put sideshows with made-up rules on like this, what other times will they do it?
But this is an exception. We know this.
But we
this
don't.
Is, we do know
no,
this.
No, you said
this
yourself this could be the return of Pride. And that,
yes,
like, so
in,
we could see multiple
in,
ones like this.
Right, well, if they're able to appeal to other top boxers, which I currently don't think, other than maybe someone in a similar position to Floyd, maybe like Manny Pacquiao, someone who's on the way out, where they're not going to get the payday in boxing particularly anymore, other than these odd, you know, like freaky fights, then why not?
Well, fair enough. I really
as I keep going back to it, Horiguchi versus Nasukawa is a great example of that.
Well, I didn't watch that, so like, but again, if
but I have no
but
problem.
Here's my question:
I have no problem with an elite fighter from one sport fighting
okay,
an elite fighter.
But here's my
sport.
Question:
Horiguchi
did that happen under a rule set for an already existing sport instead of a made up rule set for a sport just because it makes the fight work? That's the difference.
I don't think that matters.
Of course it fucking matters.
But it doesn't matter.
Well, just stay in boxing rule set then.
Well, why does anybody have to do any of that?
Because it's to give the illusion that Mayweather's doing something different other than boxing.
But then your problem is a personal one with Floyd Mayweather.
No. My problem is with any fight that would happen where a rule set is designed to specifically give one person an advantage. Like, the fight is predicated on that. Not someone like that, like the fight you just mentioned where Horiguchi, who is not a kickboxer, took part in a kickboxing rules match.
But then the kickboxing rules were stacked against him and for Nasukawa.
But this is the difference. He didn't invent the kickboxing rule set for that fight.
But Floyd will not invent them. They will be there'll be a negotiation between three parties.
Yeah, but that's my point. They're making up.
But they're all agreeing to it. I have no problem with that.
Because
if two people want to fight and under a promotion, and the promotion wants them to fight, and they all parties involved can agree to a certain set of rules, it's no more ridiculous than boxing. We're only going to use our hands. We're not allowed to grapple. It's the same bloody thing.
It's not because it's not a like you're talking about sports that already exist and are established. So what I'm saying is that Horiguchi, you can't tell me it's not different. Horiguchi fought in kickboxing, right?
But why does it matter if it already exists or not?
Because what's the point in making a dopey rule set? Either box or kickbox.
But
fuck off with, like, modified this.
Says who? Like,
no, I'm not saying that's what everyone has to think. I'm saying that's my opinion, says me.
Yeah, but you're getting worked up about
it. I'm not getting worked up.
It's pathetic and this, that, and the other.
It is pathetic.
It's just a fight under...
But it's not really.
It is a fight. It's just under a different set of rules. It's still a fight.
No doubt in my mind a set of rules that Floyd has handpicked. Like, do you really believe that...
Whatever. Well, they both agreed to fight at them.
If you're Nasukawa, you can't turn that down, because then you're the fucking guy that turned down your biggest paycheck of your life. Money talks, bullshit walks.
He absolutely can.
But he wouldn't have.
Right, well, then he does.
But you can't expect him to.
But then, no. If he's getting paid for it and he's agreed to it, you can't say dick about him fighting under these rule sets. He agreed to it.
But you keep, like, you're not, like, what I keep saying is, my problem is with Ryzen, who are happy enough to let a bullshit rule set just slip through the net because it suits them. That is not a credible organization that does that. You pick a rule set that exists and you fight under it. Or you fucking...
Why do they have to agree to that? What code are they holding to?
Other than to make it... As I said, this is where the professional wrestling side of it comes in.
Well, they're putting on a fight which more people will watch in that organization than they have ever watched before. And probably ever will again.
The more you're saying, the more this sounds like professional wrestling.
But it's still a competitive...
It's not competitive.
You're talking absolute shit. I hate the way... Like, you can't keep equating it. It's not a premeditated. It is not fake.
It doesn't matter.
They are still in there. And they are still hitting each other. Whether we agree with the rules or not, it is still a combat contest. There is combat taking place. It is no less legitimate than any other form of combat.
Well, my point is...
So you can't keep saying it's rigged and it's just like pro wrestling. It's essentially an exhibition combat fight. It doesn't hold merit in MMA because it's not in MMA. It doesn't hold merit in boxing because it doesn't hold merit in that.
It doesn't hold merit in anything.
It is no consequences. It is literally an exhibition fight from two, pretty much, well, two, possibly, well, obviously, Nasukawa is, 20 years old, so it's hard to say he's the best ever.
No, but he is phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. He's certainly on course to that and possibly the best boxer ever. It is literally just an exhibition combat fight. It is no, like, but it's still as legitimate a fight as they come.
Only because, as you said...
Unless someone takes a dive, or...
No, I get that,
Then it is still a legitimate combat.
I've already acknowledged that. I'm not implying that it's rigged, but it's set up to fail, is what I'm saying. Nasukawa is set up to fail by the rule set,
I have no sympathy, because he agreed to it.
But it's not about sympathy, because if I was Nasukawa, I'm not turning down the God knows how many millions either.
Nasukawa is treating this 100% like it is winnable.
I think he's deluded if he thinks that... Now, to be fair, I can't say that without knowing the rule set, but I think that he would be very silly to think that if it is going to be such a lightly modified... I think that the modifications made to this rule set are literally just enough to give Floyd Mayweather something to talk about in social media. And to be fair, lot of this conversation we will have to revisit whenever the rule set's announced, because a lot of it is premedicated on that. But what I am saying is I think that I'm confident in saying that I think that this is going to be pretty close to a boxing match. In which case, just have a boxing match then and fuck off with this whole, like, oh, we're going to make it out like something it's not. That's where I'm saying it's like a fucking work. It's trying to pull the wool over my eyes and your eyes to say that there's more to this than just a glorified boxing match.
But there will be more to it.
Probably not.
If there's any variation from standard boxing... There's more to it.
But, well, you see, that's the thing.
Even something as simple as taking his shoes off makes it different.
Yes, it does, but not massively.
I don't need it to be massively different.
No, but that's my point, is that it should be if they're going to market it as something out of the norm.
But it is out of the norm.
But it's only out of the norm because of who the guy is and the company they're fighting for. It's not actually...
It'll be an out of the norm rule set. It's literally
rule set. It's like we talked about. The term hybrid rule set... If this turns out that there's kicks involved or something, I've been completely wrong
if
this whole podcast.
Involved, it's still a hybrid rule set because it
won't
be.
I know that. But what I'm saying is, if there are kicks involved, I've been completely wrong this whole podcast, and I'm not. That's fine. But what I'm saying is that if you think for a split second that Mayweather has let kicks be involved in this, I think that anyone that thinks that, I think, you know,
I'm not saying that he has, but I'm just.
But that's not my point. How is it different than a boxing match? It's not really. It's just a dumb boxing match again, and this is another guy who's not going to win.
If they boxed, it'd be no less legitimate than...
No, it'd be way more legitimate.
Why so?
Because it is one person stepping from a sport that exists
into a set of rules, which are also restricted.
But not just made up for one fight. How can you not? Of course it does.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If they're striking, it's still just a striking contest. It's essentially an exhibition. It doesn't take any legitimacy away from it.
I don't know. I think that they
boxing is also a limited striking thing.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the same thing like Conor fans could argue.
Yeah. They could, absolutely.
I have no issue with it. No one's pretending that this is to find out the best ends up being. My whole argument is that there is no downside to this. There is no downside.
I think
the only downside is yourself who are getting touchy about it because it's a bit different from our standard MMA format.
That's not why.
A card of 20 fights.
That's not why. It's because I don't like watching fights that it is. Like,
you know, but you not liking watching it is not a downside to this.
No. But what I'm saying is that it's like I'm talking about exclusively me there. But
no, but you were saying it was damaging the reputation.
It does.
Of
it,
MMA.
It does because there are people who will think that is MMA off the back of this.
People who think the world's flat.
Exactly.
There's always twats.
But you wouldn't like being sold that and people making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect my understanding of it.
No, but that's exactly my point, is that
someone,
it does
if,
affect...
If someone comes up to me, a friend or whoever happens to watch this, and comes up and asks or says, oh, about this, you can talk to people about it. No one is going... Like, I think you're putting more merit in what people's opinions of this will be. I think people will see it for exactly for what it is.
I hope so. I know that aren't many of our listeners will, because we have an intelligent fan base, we really do. But I just worry about the general public in it. I think that the general public, their side of things. Sorry, we saw a picture of Beauty and the Beast with dogs. We're both dog lovers. What can we say? And dog owners. I think that it's the perception that, you know, this isn't like Mayweather McGregor. And the reason it's different, there's a number of reasons it's different, but one of the reasons that from a public perception point of view that it is very different is I think a lot of members of the public wrongly, no, not you and not I, but wrongly predicted that McGregor had a chance.
As much as it pains me to say, and I've said this before, he did have a chance.
Well, he had a puncher's chance.
Yeah, but if in combat, no matter what form of combat, you could be, like I said, you could be 99.9% certain of something's going to happen. But there are those freak intangibles. Now, probability is different. The probability of him winning,
but that's
pretty slim.
But that's kind of my issue here as well, is that the general public, you know, will, you know, this isn't someone with a massive reputation to the general public.
But we'll see. I think this is more, I think this will have a bigger... I'm not even sure what time of the day it'll be on. Probably in the middle of the night.
Probably, yeah.
It's probably more aimed at the Asian market anyway. And they're used
fight
cards like this. That's what I'm saying. So our westernized standard of MMA is the UFC and Bellator and Strikeforce. And it's just not the same as that. But that doesn't make it any less entertaining. Like, and I've said before, I'm not arguing the consequences of it. It's still, to me, a legitimate contest just under different hybrid rules. It doesn't bother me that they're probably a one-off. I think, of course, you know, if you get the chance as a promotion to work with Floyd Mayweather, he's going to get more eyes on you. I think whether we like him or not as a person, he does hold sway. He is that popular. And I think you do make certain concessions for that. And I think, well, we await... To find out what the rule set is.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's obviously when we'll have to readdress it. Be sure to let us know your thoughts. Just fight you're interested in seeing. What rules would you like to see it happen under? And who do you think... In fact, if anyone thinks that Mayweather won't win, give us a tweet. Because like that's probably the thing I'm most interested in is, you know, how many people out there actually... think that Nasukawa has a chance. I think that skill-wise, he absolutely has a chance, as long as it's not close to boxing. I think that if you put the ball anywhere near, you know, a K-1 rule set or a kickboxing rule set, I think that Mayweather would get fucked up. Bigger news in MMA, I suppose, Ben Askren and Robbie Lawler has been all but confirmed. We talked about this off-air earlier on, and I think we kind of... You're more on the fence, and I think I'm a bit more rigid with this one. How do you think a fight between the two of them goes down?
I think it's hard to gauge with Askren because, I mean, he hasn't really fought anybody elite. You know, he's fought people like Lima, but like we were saying off air earlier, like that was 6-7 years ago, and Lima is certainly a much better fighter now. Now, the case for Askren is that he has dominated everybody he's ever fought.
Yep.
But we're, you know, this isn't the fight I would have booked him in personally.
Who would you rather have seen him fight? Wonder Boy?
Yeah, he's an option.
Till?
I really don't like Till at welterweight, you know. I would have put him in with Well, it's hard because there's a few people who are booked up. You know, in a perfect world where no one is booked, Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yep. Or Usman.
Yeah. Robbie Lawler, still ranked fifth in the world, obviously still carries the power. Isn't, you know, infinitely better striker than Ben Askren is. Ben Askren is obviously leagues better on the ground. It's just whether he can get it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an odd one. You know, logic says Askren takes him down and grinds him out for five rounds, but he just hasn't done it against someone on Robbie Lawler's level. Now, saying that,
Koreshkov and...
they're a long time ago.
That's what I was going to say. And Lima are probably on Lawler's level
now. But it's people... It's more gym stories than anything, which add credence to this. You know, people saying that, like, he's got Woodley's number in the gym.
Apparently, he just ragdolls Woodley.
But that's what I mean. But Woodley's, you know, on track to be possibly the greatest welterweight champion ever. So...
But then there are things that, you know, you don't need to worry about in pure wrestling in the gym.
That's true.
That, you know, that you do need to worry about. And a lot of those stories that I've also heard have been from wrestling locker rooms, not from MMA locker rooms.
I think, Lawler is definitely on the decline as a fighter.
And it's hard to pinpoint why, because he's not particularly chinny. He's not slow. You know, he can still go five rounds. It's hard to pinpoint exactly why. It's almost like Carlos Condit, although not as extreme, but that...
It's like burnout, I think.
Just years of mileage.
Yeah, started so young and has had a ridiculously long career. Be interesting. Who was it Ben Askren fought? Brazilian fight. Luis Santos.
Yes.
And he just could not get that man to the ground for love nor money. Now, if I'm Ben Askren, that's the biggest fear ever. If you go after someone like Robbie Lawler, and you're scrambling and you're flopping around on the floor and you're diving at ankles and he's getting away or he's shoving you off.
Yep.
You're in trouble if it stays upright. And I think that's... I mean, there's a few fighters like that at welterweight... Less so than other divisions, in fairness. Darren Till, for example, if he does stay at welterweight, you wouldn't want to be flopping around at his feet because he'll probably put you out. Dos Anjos could be another one. You know, Robbie Lawler. Beyond that, though, it's quite a wrestle-heavy division. And if he's the best wrestler, then that makes it interesting. I would have liked to have seen him against Kobe Covington, but I think Covington is the interim champ, you know, he is deserving of...
Something less than that.
Well, I think he's, you know, if you have an interim champ, well, didn't they strip it of him?
Yeah.
Well, regardless of anyway, he held a belt.
He's the lineal interim champ.
He's the number one contender. You sort of have to do Woodley Covington next.
Speaking of lineal, we're not going to go into any detail. The Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight is going to be epic, but you and I, just for the record, so that we have it recorded, we both heavily favor Tyson Fury in that.
Yep.
So get your dollars on it now. hashtag no refunds.
Yeah, as we're saying, if he loses, don't come at us. No, we're an MMA podcast.
He's just too technical. I've been watching a lot of his stuff, and again, I'm not even that big a boxing fan, but just absolutely phenomenal. We'll be back to what we're talking about. Lawler's a funny one because at one stage, like, he was just a completely different creature. I heavily favour Askren in this, and the reason for it is...
Rory McDonald claimed he was on the juice heavy.
Lawler?
When they fought.
But that would make sense, to be fair, and it was a different time. You know, it was pre-USADA. There is nothing to say that he was apart from that, and there is nothing to say he wasn't apart from that. You know, like... Yeah. I don't really like fighters going there whenever they get beaten. If he said that before he got beaten, or, you know, a prolonged period of time after he got beaten, there's maybe credence to it. But, you know, because it can just come across as sour grapes. However, it does kind of make sense. Although.
Well,
doesn't matter. Nah. Doesn't matter. If he was, he didn't get caught, which means he wasn't. But my issue with him is that, in terms of against Askren, yes, Robbie Lawler has power, but he doesn't have what Woodley did to him levels of par. And I think you need that to stop Askren.
I don't know. I haven't seen Askren get hit by anybody anywhere remotely close to that level of striker.
But have you ever seen him get rocked?
But that's what I'm saying. There hasn't been anybody remotely close to that.
But, you know, you would need to have, I think, unfortunately in this instance, I think more than what Lawler has to stop Askren. So I heavily favour Askren in this fight for that reason alone, because obviously you and I both know, and many of you listeners know, and to those who don't, you're about to hear my explanation of it. Closing the distance, so going from that piece of the cage where you can't get hit into the bit where you grapple, so closing that distance, the most dangerous and vulnerable part for a grappler. I think that Askren's just so good that unless you can literally, it's a bit like the Conor Khabib thing. You know, Conor really needed to land the magical left that just put Khabib out, because even landing on him isn't enough of a deterrent, because if he's moving forward towards you, unless you knock him dead, he's still going to give you that big old friendly hug, and then you're in Foxville.
Oh yeah, logic says that unless he's put out, he will get his hands on Robbie.
It's a good fight.
At some point.
It's a good fight, because I can see a case for Robbie, because he is so damn tough, and he's also, he's squirmy enough on the ground.
The more I think about it, it's a good test for him coming in. Because there isn't anything which logically says you should throw him right to the top.
No.
Because he's never proved it against elite opposition, and Robbie Lawler ranked at 5, former champion on the way down, with, you know, a skill set which could and should cause him trouble. If he blows through Robbie Lawler, then absolutely, you throw him right in there with the title mix.
5.
So yeah, the more I think about it, yeah, it makes sense.
Sweet. It is now time for... Yep, you guessed it from the music. It is time, of course, for our Saints and Sinners. If you're new here, then we'll take a quick second to explain. We have, of course, had the power
invested in us
indeed by the MMA gods who oversee all that happens in the MMA world. They have bestowed upon us the power to cast people to hell, put people into purgatory, give people sainthoods, whatever's required really in the MMA world. So we, of course, each week are constantly not only watching the fights and the happenings, but judging. And this is the bit where we don't get to quietly judge, we get to judge aloud. Yeah. Mel, what is your first pick this week?
I would like to bring forth a sinner, a big sinner.
Oh dear.
Big Dan Mugliata. Another week, another UFC event, another referee late stoppage. Poor Chris Weidman, whose eyes rolled back in his head like the Undertaker.
Oh, he was out.
Jacare clocked him. Big Dan thought, nope, you know what? He's good. He's good, he can come back.
He's fine.
He's fine, he's just a little knocked out. He's good. Jacare denied his Mark Hunt-esque walkaway knockout. Dan, you know, just sloppy. I would also like to simultaneously bring forth, speaking of this fight, Jacare as a saint for just doing enough to incapacitate Chris Weidman and, you know, not wanting to hurt the poor man anymore. Plus, they had great respect before, during, and after the fight.
Yes.
I saw their photo
after
doing, you know,
Jacare's in a
alligator
sling.
Yeah, he is in a sling. Jacare's alligator hand clap taunt thing. So yes, Jacare, a saint of sportsmanship. Big Dan, a sadistic sinner.
Sadistic bitch. To be fair on that stoppage, you know,
I am exaggerating, in fairness.
Here's the thing.
I've definitely seen worse.
I've 100% seen worse, but it's a tough one because the rules state that once you're not intelligently defending yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get punched once, technically, but the rules shouldn't really allow for walk-off KOs because you don't stop until the ref steps in. Now, I disagree with the rules in that regard. Mm. So what I'm saying is,
I think it's the element of common sense.
Yes,
you know, like when,
that's what I was going to say.
Was it Chris... I forget his name. Tush, whatever he's called. Brock Lesnar's mate. When Mark Hunt did it and face planted him. Now, same with Roy Nelson. He didn't follow up. And they weren't, like, they were out briefly, but they came back, but they were, like, stumbling all over the place and their balance had gone. Chris Weidman was like that, you know, common sense steps in there and says, like,
what you would think.
He's not lying there in a coma, but he's definitely not got his wits about him, so it's probably just best to let this go.
Jacques Ray gets a sainthood for the foreseeable future. He's always been quite respectful towards fighters. I just really like Jacques Ray. I would agree with you. What kind of sentence are you talking about handing down to Dan?
It's
just
not
a few Hail Marys?
Yeah,
it's
certainly not the worst. No, I think he deserves some time down
in hell?
Under.
Or purgatory?
No, I think we got to... No, hell. I think we got to crack down on these
on the refs.
Well,
it feels bad to do that considering that Herb hasn't made it into hell yet.
Herb did. I thought we did send Herb to hell. I'm pretty sure we did. And now, Big Dan, I'm thinking just a week's stay in hell. You know, he'd be back out for...
Oh, back
for
out
next
for next
UFC,
week.
But
right, okay. Yeah, well, okay. Well,
definitely,
in that case,
definitely
yeah.
need something a bit more severe because it's not his brain cells on the line.
No, this is true. And if it were, perhaps he'd be a little more careful. I concur with that. That's absolutely fair. I am going to... Well, actually, I'm going to talk first of all about... Yes, I'm going to put Derek Lewis forward as a sinner.
Why so?
Well, my reasoning for this is I read an interview with him... I read the interview. I read the what he said. I read a quote from him. I know that
read
the interview was a spoken interview.
Read the headline.
I read the headline, yeah. But I know that it was a direct quote. And he said, basically, that he knows he lost, but he was just caught off guard by the single leg takedowns.
Yeah, who would have ever thought DC
would do a single leg, yeah. Not like they're known from AKA, not like they're known from Olympic wrestlers, not like they're known from anyone who knows anything about grappling, not like they're done in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, not like they're done in school wrestling.
It's not like DC's ever done them in his 23 fight career.
No.
Yes.
I don't think he needs to go to hell, but I think he needs to go to purgatory because... Like last week, we laughed.
His coaching situation?
Possibly, but we liked, we laughed last week at how, you know, he was training now 3 hours a day as if that's something that the number two heavyweight athlete, you know, in the world.
Not 3 hours of takedown defense?
Clearly not. Maybe it was, but yeah. It was just all double legs.
Yeah.
Like, just 3 hours of double legs. Damn it! It was a 50-50 chance.
Double legs and trips. I just wasn't prepared.
Could well be. I think that, you know, Derek Lewis, perhaps tongue-in-cheek, perhaps taking the piss. If so, Derek...
That's
just,
my one thing with Derek is like...
You never know.
Yeah, like, for God's sake, just give me some clarity.
Yeah, it could be a joke, in which case, you know, fair enough then, no time is necessary. But we need you to come forward and tell us then, Derek,
yeah.
Because if not, we're casting you to purgatory just to think about what you've done for a week.
Yeah.
So he is my first pick of this week.
Okay, next I would like to bring the people's champion, Sejara Eubanks, forth to be judged.
Oh, no.
As a saint for one... For
no, a saint?
A saint for the most exciting fight of the night. I joke, I kid. I bring it forth as a sinner. One,
for many reasons.
Because the delusion that she had in the lead-up to this...
Oh, it was ridiculous.
I'm not even sure how to describe it. The unwarranted sense of entitlement.
Yep.
The going after Joe Rogan.
Which time?
All the times. Her screaming at Dana White.
Apparently.
And I, you know, I will say I had dead of sympathy for it. So
I didn't.
At one point, because if I was offered a Madison Square Garden headlining title fight, no matter how much I deserved it or not, and it was taken away from me. But, you know...
It wasn't taken away from her because she was undeserving.
No,
it was taken away from her because the public shot.
Well, that's true, but...
You know, if I was Dana White, I'd be standing my ground and saying, look, this isn't me. This is what the public wanted.
That's true, but her list of crimes hasn't ended yet.
What?
So, all that. Then, she goes and misses weight.
Ha!
Yes, imagine she had have stayed in the headline spot.
She'd have been too big to fit.
Yep. then, of course, she goes on and puts on the performance of a lifetime. We were expecting fireworks in the post-fight interview
mm-hmm.
where she had threatened several times to, you know, essentially call out Joe. Maybe even get physical.
She said, why don't you come roll with me, bitch,
yeah.
basically.
to which she absolutely pussied out of addressing Joe at all and acted like his best mate.
Yep.
So, too many crimes to come up with a single...
She's cast to hell.
Yeah.
She might even be the first person that we crucify.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Possibly, like, I mean...
She'll need to do something big in her next outing to get even closer to me.
I thought you were going to be like, she'd need to do something really big to get crucified, but I hear what you're saying.
No, I'm on for this. And we said at the time, it's actually a stupid move on her part, because in her post-fight interview...
She seemed lovely.
She actually came off as just...
Really well?
Really well.
It angered me more.
Yeah, I was like... You ain't about this game.
She's not.
Stop with the front.
I thought that maybe she was Dylan Danis, like, because that was the way she was getting on, right? Nah, no, but, like, as in, believed her own hype, right?
I don't even think she does.
No, she doesn't. That's what annoyed me, because if she was just the person she was in the interview the whole time, she'd have been... Fine. She'd have actually had a new fan.
Yeah.
If she could have played that completely differently, she could have been that, look... I feel really hard done by the UFC, but you know what? I'm lucky to still be where I am. I'm just going to work hard. She's a tough fight ahead of me.
She's also lucky she didn't fight Valentina Shevchenko.
Oh, she'd have got killed.
Yeah, she would have took her soul.
Like, Modafferi made it hard for her. Like, it was a unanimous decision. All right,
there wasn't. She kind of just brute forced her way through that fight.
But
she's going to have to do a lot in her next outing to redeem herself, to get herself back... on the slightly colder side of the hell-heaven divide.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lot of work to do to get back into my good book, certainly.
She's a sinner for me for acting Billy Big Balls and not backing it up.
Is she going to be the first, like, permanent fighter in hell?
I don't think so. I think that's reserved for...
John Jones?
Criminal acts, yeah. Not just being a dick. So, she's in there for the long haul. Months, possibly until her next fight, whenever that may be.
But
if she doesn't fight again, she's stuffed.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you miss weight twice, you know, I'm not saying that I believe that you miss weight twice, you should get cut. What I'm saying is, you miss weight twice, it's not unheard of for the UFC.
She ain't getting a title shot next, I'll tell you that.
She ain't getting a title shot, full stop.
Well, she might down the line. I think it's this nonsense of about the weight, this is, of... competing up to 3 times within a 6-week period on The Ultimate Fighter. Like, your body cannot cut weight, rehydrate, cut weight, rehydrate, cut weight, rehydrate that many times in such a short period of time. And I think it just, you know, fucks your body up long term.
Well, she blamed it on the Mr. Blobbies. She blamed it on her time of the month.
Well, I've been there.
Yeah, you struggle to cut weight around the time of your period.
I do,
to be fair.
I definitely do. I've very bad cramps.
I love that it's like literally the only thing we know about periods. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I get bad cramps.
And I get hormonal, that is for sure. not the easiest person to be around. Sure, that time.
5 days a month or whatever.
So I can entirely relate, but I mean, I don't drag that out in public, do you?
No, you don't. You try not to, anyway. Not to. You certainly don't take it out on other fighters. You certainly... Well, you'd be ashamed to miss weight because of your period. You wouldn't use it as an excuse. You're a strong woman. You wouldn't do that, Mel.
I could just... Oh, no, I can't even say that. Sorry. No, don't
never mind.
No.
There's been a few times like that in the podcast where I felt like that, or like after I've gone, oh, I probably should have cut that out. But we kind of have a pretty strict policy about not editing for that reason. Yeah. Want to keep it flowy, ironically. What a word. Sorry. Man, I do puns here and again. Like, I can't help it. So,
Connor's tweet,
I have another sinner. It's mainly, right, well, for a start, it's Conor McGregor, okay? The reason is because he basically put up an Instagram post about that mad little bastard, that was a direct quote, talking about Floyd, where he said, "Is that a tracksuit or a sauna suit, Floyd? Haha, what the fuck? Is it hot in Tokyo, or what's the story here? That climate change is no joke, fuck me, ha ha ha," with an, like, ha ha, and then an H, all in one word. "What in the fuck is going on here? Who's this little prick next to you? That's mad shit, like something out of Rush Hour 5 or something. Chris Tucker and Jackie fucking Chan back in this bitch." I'm going to stop there because that's basically the bit that I think he's crossed the line on.
What? That sounded to me super respectful.
Look, I am not... Wait, look, funnily, this is going to sound planned, but it's not, and it wasn't. We were just talking about that, about having a kind of strict, pretty much no editing policy, because, like, we don't mind... you know, we don't say things to be controversial, but, you know, our sense of humor could be a bit dry or a bit blue or a bit whatever. So I don't generally, like, I'm not millennial. I don't get offended by people making occasional jokes about anything. I don't think anything's off limits at all within reason. Yeah. However, if you're going to make any kind of racist joke, you best be subtle.
Yeah, you probably don't post it to your...
not even just that.
29.
Not even just that. You don't make a joke if you're going to make a racist joke. And I'm not condoning that, by the way.
Good one.
What I'm saying is, no. It can't be, black guy and an Asian guy, it must be rush hour. Like, that's not even really a joke. That's just literally being a dick. Yeah. You know, like, as in, there are jokes I've heard comedians pull off about race that are hilarious because they're satirical, they're dry, they maybe go from, you know, an angle that you don't think it's going to go to. And I don't sit and crack up about the fact they've made a race joke. This isn't a race joke problem. This is literally just a stereotyping dickhead problem where McGregor has literally just been like, black guy and an Asian guy, that's hilarious. It's like, is it? Or are you just on coke again? I'm going to do it again. He's on coke still.
Yeah.
He hasn't come down from the... here's the other thing.
Still got two belts in that profile picture.
Of course he does.
This is not a good look, and despite the racist connotations in this, it's also just a tad disrespectful to a fairly elite fighter,
kickboxer, and Floyd. Yeah,
yeah. Who the fuck is this guy? Like, I know he's trying to wind.
And not only that, who the fuck's this guy? The guy that knocked you out.
No, I don't think he's talking about Floyd in that sense. I think he's talking about Nasukawa. But
He is. But the start of it is that a tracksuit or a sauna suit Floyd. Like, what I'm saying is, he's still fucking with Floyd, still, even though Floyd knocked him cold. Right,
they're still angling for that rematch,
they'll never get.
No, well, I don't know. Crazy things have happened.
Yeah, like the Nasukawa fight,
which we're all on board for.
We're completely can't wait. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my issue with him. Like, in this, is that I get trying to keep himself relevant. I get trying to tweet at Floyd. I get all of that. I just don't understand. Like,
he's doing a fair bit of Instagram ranting. There's one with Mike Tyson where he's talking about it. You know, he doesn't agree with his financial decisions and blah blah blah. Like, just the old coke rants need to stop.
Well, let's see if Conor manages to sniff his way through all that coke first. You know, because he might end up going down paths that Tyson did. You know, you don't get to brag about how well, you know, criticizing other people. He's only a year and a bit away removed from getting the biggest check of his life. Let's see if he's still got that in 20 years. I believe he will, because I think that he is an incredible businessman, so I'm not trying to disrespect him in that. But what I'm saying is, when you have a proven track record...
He has every fanboy on earth buying his dirty...
This is where we need that dick-sucking sound. we'll get a soundboard, or maybe we don't need one. No. Maybe we'll just do our own sound effect. Just be like the guy from
Police Academy.
Yeah, that's it. Just become like really good at that. So yes, whilst he's a sinner, I'm going to put him into hell for a while to consider.
The guy just needs to classy himself up a bit.
He does, because he has the wit, he has the skill, he has the charisma, he has all the ingredients. And this is what we've talked about before: the change in dynamic between the press conference at Jose Aldo, where that was a dynamic, well-spoken, clever, you know, that was everything that built that fight. Like, that, I would still defend that guy to the death if he were the Jose Aldo Conor McGregor. The Nate Diaz one, to an extent, but not as much. The Khabib one, like, the trajectory for the way that the shit-talking's going ain't good. Because now you're going to racism, now. Like, after everything, after the shitstorm that you got, the backlash that you got from going after a man's religion, and the whooping you got off the back of it, now's a good time to go after someone's fucking race? Seriously? I don't know. Anyway, hell for me for that, but some blessed news.
Max Holloway news?
No, blessed is still depressed, I think, baby.
Until he beats Ortega. That's another day.
One of my favorite fighters of all time, so I'm biased, so I will need you to help me confirm whether or not sainthood is due. I think a remarkable example of how fighters should hold themselves exists in direct juxtaposition to what we just discussed with McGregor. Alexander Gustafsson handling himself with dignity and grace in the face of mild adversity with John Jones press conference.
There is a man with class.
Class, skill, and a great, just a great head on his shoulders. John Jones annoyed me at that press conference for a couple of reasons. One, you and I talked a number of weeks ago about John v. Gus. And did we do a video on it?
I think we did.
I think there's a video. Yeah, there is. There's a video on YouTube, which you can, of course, find at Palooka Media. We talked about it, and you were quite strong that Jones would still win because you think he's possibly the greatest or one of. And I do agree to that point. However, what I put forward was that I just believe that Gus has just been constantly working at his craft, you know, never losing sight of his goals, and that John Jones is basically spinning too many plates. And I said that at a certain point, I think that costs you. There is intangibles and there is natural talent, but at a certain point, hard work trumps that. The first words, or some of the first words out of John Jones' trap at the press conference, were that he didn't, although he was offered the fight sooner, he didn't want to take it because he wasn't in shape. Now, I don't even know where to begin with that. What if you have been off your job, if you will, and still physically able to train, surely, for God's sake, he should be in the best shape of his life. You know, on paper. Like, for all intents and purposes, he should be better than he's ever been. Maybe not because of ring rust, but in terms of all of the other things, his diet should be better, his cardio should be better, his weight should be better. If you've had 2 years to fucking figure it out, what have you been doing that be in shape?
Well, he's only had a year off, but just to give him the slight benefit of the doubt, you know.
No,
not allowed, but he might have been...
That's for people who haven't run pregnant women over.
True. He might have been settling in for that 4-year suspension.
He might have been, but does that not also seem a little bit one foot out the door, one foot in? Like, that's kind of my point. It's, you know, if you...
I don't think fighters have to be ready at the drop of a hat. Obviously, it's more beneficial
if they can.
John Jones is also in a position where he doesn't just have to take short notice fights, whether we like it or not. It's the same as what I was saying about Floyd. Whether we like him or not person.
I'm not criticizing for not taking a short notice fight. I'm criticizing for... He probably had plenty of notice for that fight, but just wasn't in shape.
That New York card was booked up a while ago, and like, it did lose some good fights in Leighton Dustin and Romero Costa.
He would have known that he would have been cleared to fight months in advance.
I don't think he was ever... Headlining that card.
No, but he knew. Him and USADA had that figured out months ago.
It wasn't that long ago. It really wasn't. September.
No, that's when it was publicly announced. But you don't honestly believe that they hadn't figured that out months ago, do you?
No, but there'll have been ongoing discussions. I don't think it'll have been settled and then sat on for a while. I think it'll have been settled pretty soon to when it was announced.
Well, if that's the case, fair enough. But I just thought that, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect a fighter who's had a year off and not through injury or another thing.
I honestly don't think that was ever considered or booked for New York, so I'm not too annoyed about that. I just, John Jones and his mouth and what he says.
His next thing was just, you know, I thought that he probably won the press conference in terms of trash talking. You know, like, I think he's... But then again, this kind of comes back to the Habib-Connor thing. It's not that there's a language thing there, because Gustafsson, his language is perfect. Like, but, you know, I think it's a tonality thing. You almost lack the ability to inflect words. You know, like, Gus is quite, that's okay, but we'll see who wins on the day. And it's all very sort of monotone almost. Yeah. And I believe that is intrinsically a language thing, because it's not his first language, even though he's fluent in it. Mm. But Jones, you know, being Jones, is a bit more cocky, a bit more brash. And fair play, he did create a bit of hype. But the thing that annoyed me the most, right, and this is where, in fact, Jones could almost go back down. In fact, I'm sending him back down. Fuck it. you're back down in hell, bud. To see if you fight. The reason I was really annoyed was I saw an interview after with Ariel Helwani, and he was talking to him about the shove. And he was like, oh, things seem to get a little testy. And he was like, yeah, well, I've matured a lot and I see, you know, maybe the fans want that. So I just thought I'd do that. And it's like, how is insulting someone showing that you've fucking matured? Like how, what way does your brain work? How sociopathic are you that you just think that you can just shove people? Like that, like he's made a habit of that, and it's not for the crowd. It's not for the crowd. It's for him. He likes to think it's for the crowd. But just, you know what it was? Gus, for the first time, got under his skin. He took a casual step in front of him, and that was just too much. Jones tried to do it to him, and then, you know, Gus just went, no, you're not doing that to me, bud. Just stepped in front, no contact. But one thing I loved was that Gus came out basically and said, I wasn't impressed by his power at all in that show.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
I'm not impressed by your performance. Yeah, I think that Gustafsson is probably, him and Rich Franklin are probably my two favourite fighters ever. The Jones-Gustafsson fight is up there with Lawler and McDonald for me as my favourite fight ever. I do, as much of a fanboy as I am, I had Gus win in the first two rounds, and then I had
Jones
a close third round, but Jones winning, and then Jones took over the last two rounds. That's how I had it scored. So I'm not. I might come across biased with it, but I hope that puts it to rest. With that, I'm just a massive Gustafsson fan. But I think this fight could be difficult for Jones.
I do
see a path to victory for Jones. Absolutely. But I just think that Gus's striking has come on leaps and bounds. However, apparently apparently Jones has as well. He's been working on his boxing a lot.
I fully expect him to be better.
I don't know. I think that Gus is tougher. I think that Gus is... Gus maybe even moves better, footwork-wise.
When me, you and Andy were talking about this the other day in our WhatsApp group, until I see otherwise, I can't pick against Jones. As much of a scumbag as he is,
that's fair.
With the tests, this, that, and the other, until I see him physically different, bad performance, lose a fight, I can't pick against the guy.
But we have seen that.
Well, like what he did in the second DC fight, like
it's good game planning. I'll give him that.
But that guy, like, he's, you know, scumbag, but the best. So, a super interesting fight. I genuinely cannot wait for it. Gus obviously has a chance. I just think, like I've said to you before, I think Gus's best chance of beating Jones may have come and went. I don't think Jones will give him or take him as lightly, if that's to be believed. But going back to your original point, I second classy Gustafsson for sainthood.
Saint Gustafsson, you beautiful man. That's it for the Saints and Sinners this week. We will, of course, be back with more Saints and Sinners next week. And just to round up now, it would be remiss of us not to talk of UFC Fight Night, which, of course, is happening in Denver, Colorado. Oh, actually, just when I've remembered, one thing to talk about that we haven't mentioned. Little nod to the UFC, perhaps even a sainthood for whoever thought about doing this. The 25-year anniversary gloves that were worn at UFC 230.
Yeah, I feel like I said every time. It's nice. Anything slightly different. I'm looking forward to, speaking of 25 years and this next fight card, the mat will be the original UFC logo.
The big logo, the big strongman logo.
Just anything which sort of spices the product up, which I feel has got a touch steel.
A little bit of salt and pepper.
Exactly. Well, speaking of this card, not the best card of ever seen.
A little bit flat, to be honest. I mean, De La Rosa and Sanchez, meh. Ramos and Gunther, which is
a mismatch.
Yeah.
Dani Ramos should.
He should sub him pretty handily.
Yeah.
That's actually my lock of the night.
Yeah. Ramos by submission. Have to agree with
you. That's my lock of the night.
Benil Dariush coming back from that Alex Hernandez.
Yes, where he got sparked.
Yeah, knockout.
It's a tough fight for him, though. Like, you know,
he's another one we've spoken about, like Condit and Lawler. The skills are all there.
It's just something.
Yeah, it's just something that missing. We have Yoder versus Cooper in the Mackenzie Dern sloppy seconds contest. just doesn't really.
That's the terrible name for that.
Well, that's what it is.
Mackenzie Dern sloppy seconds.
Yeah.
It always sounds like a breakfast bar.
Not a breakfast bar I'd want.
No. Well.
Well.
But don't rule anything out.
We have Luis Peña. Angry Bob Ross.
Angry, but violent Bob Ross.
Violent Bob Ross.
Violent Bob Ross, I think. This is a tough fight. Trezano's good as well. Another UFC fighter alum, I think. It's Peña is good. He doesn't have
the
pop.
The Ultimate Fighter guys are so hard to rate at the minute because they can look good on the show, but the level of competition on the show has dropped so significantly in these latter seasons that it is genuinely hard to gauge how good they are.
Well, Violent Bob Ross is good, but he's also very fresh in his career.
Trezano is also 6-7-0, very.
He's 8-0, but that three fights more experience in the pro ranks is, that's not to be sneezed at, because he's essentially got, a third more experience. But that doesn't necessarily count for everything. Violent Bob Ross, to me, he should win. I can't see him knocking him out. I think that, Trezano's not chinny, or doesn't show signs of it. I think that a sub is possible. We know that Peña's spindly off his back, but I can't see it. I think a decision is likely here. I'm just dicing between which way.
I haven't seen enough of Trezano to really make an informed opinion.
I'm going to go with Violent Bob Ross just because it is hands down the best nickname in MMA.
Yep.
I'm going to go with him.
Not a whole lot else on the main card. We have Joseph Benavidez versus Ray Borg. Both
Benavidez should win this.
Well, Ray Borg's
good,
tough as they come. This is at flyweight, which, if the rumors are to be believed, isn't long for this world. Both, of course, have challenged and fallen to Mighty Mouse along the way. I think that was actually Ray Borg's last fight. Of course, he was involved in the Brooklyn bus incident.
Yeah.
And has been dealing with
his ailing son. Who Brendan Schaub, good guy Schaub, still got a sainthood from this because he hasn't done anything recently to fuck that up, really. Is paying still for the medical expenses.
Ray
Borg, Schaub.
Only 25 still, which is crazy. Benavidez, super experienced, beats everybody who isn't the champion.
Ray Borg, apart the Taz-Mexican devil.
I can't decide if it's a great nickname or an awful nickname.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible, actually. Sergio Pettis beat Benavidez in his last fight, split decision. He doesn't really get blown away, other than, of course, the second Mighty Mouse.
Yes, so, yeah.
I mean, he lost a bunch of split decisions, which were very close. I just think Benavidez has too much big game experience.
He's an odd looking creature, Benavidez, isn't he?
He is.
He's Megan O'Leary's husband, isn't it?
Yeah, he is.
Strange.
5'4". It's not a lot of them. No, but there's not a lot of flyweights with much size, in fairness.
No, but I mean, that's a very, very small man. Like,
well,
Ray Borg
is also 5'4".
I know that, like, they'd fuck us up. But it's just, like, there's something funny about, like, a little tiny man getting really angry. Like as in, like, 5'3", 5'4", like, that's super small.
Yeah, it is super small.
It's nothing wrong with that. I'm a complete opposite end of the spectrum where I'm what I classify as freak tall, where, like, the kind of tall that if I walk past you, I'm like that guy in The Simpsons, are you laughing at me because of the way I have sit in my automobile or whatever it is, because I'm, like, just under 6'9", so I'm, like, freak tall, so, like... Yeah. I'm allowed to make these comments, all right? It's a bit like, that's a good point. What we ranted about Conor McGregor about, like, would we have commented on it if McGregor were either black or Asian?
Probably not. No.
Or like the most questionable one in the UFC, the most racist tattoo in the UFC belonging to Big Cain Velasquez.
Ooh, controversial point.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it's racist because I get it.
What is it?
Brown pride. But like,
It'd be weird if someone had
white pride. Could you imagine the shitstorm? People would refuse to fight him.
If someone had a black pride tattoo.
Yeah, why? This is what I mean. This is the world's weird. Why are any of those okay and any of them aren't? Like, surely they're either all okay or none of them are okay.
I think there's a lot more.
There's context.
Cultural context.
To get a into lot than of we context. Have to. Yeah.
Let's just broad let's, brush answer let's, this. Yeah, let's, settled.
Is this okay?
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah. On with the fights. So I'm picking Benavidez.
Yes, I'm probably going to favor Benavidez. I think if Borg does it, I think he does it by finish, though. I think it's the difference. I can't see Borg winning a decision. I do have a slight path to victory for him. He's maybe a little bit better on the ground. Maybe.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think Benavidez is better everywhere.
The only
thing which will catch Benavidez against non-super elite folk is time.
Father time.
He's 34. The wheels tend to fall off. That explosive movement, which you rely on a lot at flyweight. Could be one of the best fighters ever to not win a title.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't all that many years ago that he was a perennial contender.
I think he still is.
He's ranked number three. You know,
he's the last man to beat Henry Cejudo. So.
Tough one for... Well, for both fighters here, and a tough, probably the one that I'm back and forth on the most with this is Rocky Pennington against Jermaine de Randamie.
Who?
Jermaine de Randamie, probably my least favorite female fighter, not named Sejara Eubanks. It's frustrating because
worst UFC champion in history.
Yes, and that's basically why. Because on paper, like 43% KO rate, that's ridiculous for a woman. And you don't see that in the
she hits hard. I think she has just irreparably damaged her reputation amongst fight fans
for cowering and hiding.
Well, yeah, you know, you're the featherweight champion, and then I mean, you get the fuck out of Dodge to stay away from
Cyborg.
She's got
her work cut out for her here with Rocky Pennington.
Well, this is what I said. You know, logic says Jermaine Durandamy, you know, probably wins this and probably wins it by decision. But Pennington is, I think she's super underrated. Now, granted, Amanda Nunes took her soul.
Yes.
Beat the brakes off her. But before that, like, she lost a split decision to Holly Holm, who you could argue, you know, close fight, you could maybe have give it to Pennington. After that, tapped out Jessica Andrade, beat Betch Kohea, beat Misha Tate. Like,
yep.
Yeah, there's you know, a good resume. I don't know. I'm back and forth on this one. It'll be interesting to see how much lasting damage Pennington took and mental. You know, from that fight with Nunes.
Could she just have turned into Ngannou?
She could freeze up.
Yeah,
but then again, De Randamie hasn't fought in a year, 2 years, you know.
Nearly like, 2 years, yeah.
It's an odd fight. I have to sort of just... I'm sticking with De Randamie by decision, but this one, this could be... I have a feeling this is going to be razor thin. I'm thinking split decision could go either way.
I favour De Randamie slightly. However, I think that this could be... I mean, you'd even mentioned this before we even started the podcast. There could be an upset here. Pennington is underrated, and her record isn't necessarily reflective of...
Well, she has fought the elite her entire career. Yeah. I think she fought Katsangano in like her second or third fight, so...
Well, the next fight is a very, very tricky one to call. It is, of course... Platinum, ironic nickname, Mike Perry.
He's lucky he has escaped the Saints and Sinners this week, because I've just remembered about the Native American promo video.
I think we've had enough controversy for one podcast. Having said that, let's fuck it, why not? He's yet another borderline racist. But what was funny is you probably hear him be like, oh, I can't be racist because I'm not 0.3% black or whatever. Like, he's such an idiot. But I do like him.
I was watching an interview where he was asked, had he been to Latin America? To which he answered, he'd been to Mexico, but he hadn't been to Spain yet. Spain, that famous Latin American country.
Yeah, of course. I think that Perry has all the intangibles needed to beat an aging cowboy. But Cowboy's Cowboy. And it depends what cowboy shows up. There's two cowboys. There's the Game AF cowboy, and then there's I just want to go and have my beers cowboy.
I think Mike Perry, as a character, will bring the best out of Cowboy. I don't really rate Perry.
He's improving.
Is he? I think bar Paul Felder snapping his arm and still only managing to get by him in a split decision, he'd be on a 3-fight losing streak. I think, like we've said it before, Max Griffin exposed Perry. I think Cowboy could be the best striker out of all those previous opponents. The only thing is Perry is a fairly large boy.
He is a big boy. He was actually weighing in at 193 pounds yesterday.
I could see, I'm picking the upset. I'm picking Cerrone by decision. I don't think he really has the pop to put Perry away. He
is it's kicks, though.
It is true, but Perry has been shown to have a granite chin.
Yeah, his chin's ridiculous.
But I just think if Cowboy fights smart, this is to get back on track. Plus, this is his hometown fight. I'm sure Grandmother Cerrone will be in attendance. This is in Denver, after all.
Grandma Cerrone will be there, no doubt, showing the utmost respect to Mike Perry. That'll be hilarious, Mike Perry and Grandma Cerrone. I just think that it kills me to say it because he's one of my favourite fighters, but I just think that Cerrone is on the downward trend. You know, I think that I've always thought that he's a perfect example of someone that needed the 165 division, just a little bit too big for lightweight, a little bit too small for welterweight. Mike Perry's every bit of a welterweight, as where Cerrone is just a regular old welterweight. Now, this is yet another reason why I want to see, you know, the weight cuts removed, because I hate that we even have to factor that in, you know, when we are looking at fights. But, you know, I mean, Mike Perry, 193 pounds yesterday, you know, that's
about right for a welterweight, a week out.
A week?
Yeah,
it's literally five days. Like, that's...
Working week.
Working week. But it's like, you know, that's...
I think that's fine. Lose a few pounds, eat, you know, over the next few days, and then 15-pound cut. Like, child's play.
He says, rolling his eyes. Cowboy, I think, still does have something left.
I think he has to fight the perfect fight.
He does. You can't make a mistake against Perry. Yeah,
but
you know.
I think he's absolutely capable. I don't think Perry's all that. I think he's in the position he's in because, A, he's a spastic. And two, unfortunately, people gravitate to that stupid... I was going to say persona. It's really not.
It's probably not, no.
The it factor, the charisma, if you could call it that. I don't even think he's aware of it, but people seem to gravitate towards him, and I think he's in the position he's in because of how he gets on rather than how he fights.
Yeah.
I think he's been exposed by more elite, refined strikers, and I think Cowboy... If Cowboy fights stupid and gets into a brawl with him, it's not going to end well, but if he fights smart and stays on the outside, the blueprint's already been laid, so... I'm picking the upset. I'm going with my boy, Cowboy.
That's fair. I think that Cowboy could easily do it. I just think that Perry, in this instance, has too many intangibles over him. It's a combination of age. I'm still looted with the cold. You had it last time we were recording, didn't you?
I haven't quite shaken it entirely.
It's still just the last of it.
Yeah.
I think that Cerrone... He would need to be spurred on a lot by the hometown crowd. I, unfortunately, favour Perry heavily in this. But I want Cowboy to win. As always, I will be as decisive as I can be. I favour Perry with a KO, to be honest. I'm starting to become suspect that Cerrone's chin may not be what it used to be.
Other than Till, I haven't really seen much to swing that way.
Well, that's kind of enough for me. You know, in that, you know, I combine it with a series of losses. You know, he got knocked out by Masvidal as well. You know,
we were talking about this earlier. I cannot remember that.
No, neither can I. Which is funny because it was only like a year and a half ago. Yeah. Like I remember the Rafael dos Anjos one. I remember him tapping Alex Oliveira, but I don't remember that. No. And I love Masvidal as well. I think he's a great fighter. You know, one of those fighters I always make sure not to miss. So I don't understand how that happened, but just Yeah, we'll see. But I think I favor Perry, but I prefer Cerrone. The main event, of course, unfortunately, we lost Frankie Edgar just to keep seeming to have a run of bad luck.
He has rotten luck. It's
father time coming. Maybe that and mileage. You know, he was game as fuck for years and took nearly everything that got thrown at him for a long time. Korean Zombie ranked number 10. Yair Rodriguez, the guy that Dana White apparently fired. El Pantera, he is back, number 15 ranked. 11-2-0 versus Korean Zombie, 14-4-0. Two fighters that both kind of have the same question coming into this. How has the time away affected them?
Yeah, it's been a long time. We're nearly 5.5 years removed from the Korean Zombie challenging for the title. Of course, he had to do his compulsory military service.
Of course.
As one does. But fought Dennis Bermudez, a year and a half or so ago. He must have been out injured. I can't really remember the reason why he hasn't been active for that time. Of course, like you just mentioned, Yair Rodriguez had that. He's been fired. Oh, wait, no, he hasn't. He's back moment with Dana White. I like this fight.
Yep, interesting. Answers questions.
It does. I think just Yair has more tools in the tool belt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the Korean Zombie is...
I disagree with that.
I think he's good on the feet. I mean, he's great on the ground.
Yes.
And he's obviously tough as hell. I just think Yair is a fighter. I don't think he's as good yet as we all thought he is or could be.
Correct.
But there's more upside there, and I think he will be the one making improvements more so between fights, and the time away has probably done him well after that Frankie Edgar beating.
Yeah, so that was my next point, which is, you know, I agree with you in that he has more tools on the feet, but I just think that Chan Sung Jung is so much more well-rounded than Yair.
I just think that
Yair's all flash, and it's great.
I think Zombie could get into a bit of a slugfest with him, and then we'll see how tough Yair is. I just think that it's like I said, it's the same scenario with Cowboy. I think if he fights smart and fights to his strengths, he should be able to take this. I don't see him having the power to put Zombie away.
Zombie has a good chin.
He does, hence the name. But he certainly has. But Yair certainly has the skills to stay on the outside and sort of light him up.
I could see, like, if Yair's going to do it, it could be a big, gnarly wheel kick knockout. You know, something like that. Really dynamic, unsurprising. Like, it's the worst prediction ever. Yeah. Flashy guy does something flashy.
Yeah.
I can make a case for Yair, and it would either be, as you say, maintaining him on the outside the entire time, winning, he can buy a decision, maybe even a split decision, could be close, or he fly kicks his face off, Immortal combats him, you know.
I just think that
the Korean Zombie drags him to the ground.
I don't know. I just don't see it. I think the game... I don't think this is a game. Well, first of all, MMA ain't no game, son.
No, it's a fight.
But it's not a sport, game, fight, whatever you want to call it. You can sort of take 5-4 years off, 3 years off, whatever, especially if you're not training all that time, because people like Yair are popping up all over the place, 26-year-old killer. And I think...
That's true.
It could just, you know... Korean Zombie is not an old man by any stretch of the imagination, but the game could have just passed him by a bit. The level could have moved up several notches since then.
That is entirely possible.
Beating Dennis Bermudez, who is a very good, solid fighter, but not, in my opinion, particularly elite... shows that he's still in and around there. This is a big fight for either guy to prove that they're sort of still in the mix. I suppose the only positive for Yair is that he's 26 and still, even with a defeat, has time to bounce back and reassess, refine and improve, whereas if Korean Zombie wants to make another run for a title, yeah, you can't really lose this fight.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I was just trying to find odds there for Ramos against Gunther. No can do currently. Yeah, I mean, It is now or never. And kind of is for both fighters, to be fair.
I don't know. I think Yair...
Yeah, well, Yair's got time.
Barring something horrific, you know, like a bad injury or a broken arm submission or...
But
something.
I worry about with him, it's not so much about running out of time skill-wise. I worry with him that he's running out of time with the UFC. You know, and not that that's necessarily a bad thing, because Yair could well go to Bellator, go to ONE FC.
Oh, I think he's fine.
Could go to Ryzen and box somebody.
I think if they brought him back this time, he's probably all right. He'd have to go on a bit of a losing streak for that, and he's only lost, what, one UFC fight in his career.
But we don't know what went on behind closed doors. For all we know, you know, he maybe was fired, and then his lawyer was like, no, he's not.
Well, it was to do with the...
Yeah, but see, he turned down the Zabit fight.
But then it got booked and everything, yeah, so and I don't know. Like, it's just...
No, you just...
I assume it's just water under the bridge at this point. Every party involved appears to have moved on, so...
Well, that wraps us up for this week. Thank you very much for joining us, as always. We do have a clothing line that will be coming out, so stay tuned for that. Our clothing line is called Palooka Jiu-Jitsu. It's designed to represent anybody who has any interest in combat sports, in particular Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's regardless of whether you're a white belt, a fan, or a grandmaster. So please keep an eye. We'll be keeping you posted on the social media. But more importantly, das is muy importante, we have released a Patreon. If you could get involved in any way whatsoever, donate anything at all. We have different tiers ranging from anywhere from $5 to right up to 100. They are unsurprisingly in belt format, from white to black. We're really, really pleased to be able to keep bringing you this content each week. It does take time. It does cost money. It does take a lot for us to do this. If you can think of any way for us to improve what we're doing, we would love it if you got in touch with us. You don't have to donate to help us out, but it does help. But please check us out, and that is at patreon.com/superradmma. It breaks down all the different tiers, and there's everything from just our thanks and gratitude to being able to nominate topics of conversation, to being able to get videos made, to t-shirts and to hoodies and much, much more. So of course, if you like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. One of the biggest things you can do that can help, which is free, is to give us a review on iTunes. That helps get us seen on iTunes, which helps massively. The other thing as well is, on Reddit there is very, very strict rules, and we can't really post our own podcast there for their rules. So if anyone listening is on Reddit, please feel free to share our podcast if you enjoyed it. There's a lot of really, really clever MMA people on Reddit, and we lurk on Reddit a lot. It's just a very hard one to get involved in as a podcast, because they have very, very strict self-promotion rules. So we comment as much as we can, and we do get involved in the discussion, but there's no real way for us to point people towards our topics and towards our content without breaching their rules. So that's it from me. Have you anything else to add, Mr. Mel Brown?
I really don't think so.
Don't eat yellow snow.
And I know now why you cry, but it is something I can never do.
Beautiful. One thing I would like to add, actually, just before we go, is I was in Belfast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We were in TK Maxx. I was looking for a new pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
What date was yesterday?
It was the 5th of November.
Guy Fawkes night, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Christmas music on at TK Maxx.
Good. Long may it continue.
No,
Christmas
fuck
forever.
That. I love Christmas, but from the 1st of December onwards only. On that note, peace.